This week's episode of Heavy Meta is exclusively brought to you by Face-to-Face Toronto.
Ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen. For the original.
Welcome to Heavy Meta, your source for magic news, entertainment, and comedy.
What is up, you gang-banging motherfuckers? I'm Kevin Metal.
And I'm Matty Studios.
And you're listening to Heavy Meta, girl.
Yeah, if I had my gang signs, I'd flash them now, but unfortunately, I don't believe there's an official Heavy Meta gang sign yet, is there?
You can't use the gang signs until cons comes out.
They're only cons.
They're not legal until cons comes out.
Well, hey, I'm just glad that you retweeted an official insider wizard employee gang sign symbol setup. I think that was some really good inside sleuthing you did. Apparently you've broke the internet, Kevy. Well done.
That was so goddamn funny.
I just love for everyone out there that thinks that was wizards who did that. I don't know.
Yeah, right as I was sitting down to the show, somebody was just like, oh my god, somebody from Wizards has fucking this tattooed on their knuckles. And I'm like, that's my hands, you fucking goddamn.
As soon as I saw it, I just like, I know that's Kevin's hand. Like, come on, like.
Everybody realized
first
that.
First it was his ass, then it was his hands.
Yeah.
Why was this guy?
Yeah. Twitter all day.
I was like, oh, damn it, I know those hands. Those rough, calloused hands. it's been quite a week, gentlemen. Everyone, this is Heavy Meta, if you didn't know, and we have brought on, in my opinion, one of the most positive people I know. You may know him as the master of Green Machine. Some may know him as the man behind the counter.
Somebody knows him as motherfucking Awesome Sauce.
Yeah.
Awesome
Sauce. You may know him as a chef. I don't know. We got Awesome Sauce on tonight. Awesome every day on Twitter. Anthony Cameron.
Some awesome people. Behind the counter now.
Also known as the motherfucker that has a giant Heavy Meta logo tattooed on his fucking chest.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
And I don't even have one of those. I already have a chest piece, so I don't think I'll ever have one of those. But I need a fucking Heavy Meta tattoo.
You need a tramp stamp. That's what you need.
I should do it.
Do you want a Heavy Meta? I can easily make a Heavy Meta tramp stamp.
I did that shit to a friend of mine. Like, we used to, like, one of my favorite bands forever is a band called 18 Visions that I hadn't been listening to in a while and just recently started listening to again. But it also reminded me that when I lived with, like, two of my best friends, Josh and John, and we had a tattoo machine in the house, and you guys have heard the story about tattooing Josh's penis and all that good stuff, but one of the times while we were drunk and playing tattoo, John says, I want an 18 Visions tattoo. And I was all, you should let me do it as a tramp stamp. And he said, okay.
Oh, God.
And that was history. It literally says fucking, like, in old traditional tattoo letters, it says fucking 18 and with a big V behind it across his fucking lower back because we were drunk with a tattoo machine. So, yeah, I have no problem getting a Heavy Meta tramp stamp. I should do it.
All right. I'm on it. We will make that as part of the... Maybe we can make Heavy Meta temporary tramp stamp stickers.
Yeah, then everybody...
Little iron-ons.
Yes, everybody could do it. Or we at least got to... I will get the fucking tattoo, and then the next fucking shirt we make after I get this fucking tramp stamp, we will have to put that at the bottom of the back of the shirt.
It'll go right above the Brown Lotus.
Yes!
Yes!
Exactly! See?
Now, speaking of shirts, we've gotten, apparently, people are starting to get a little edgy. They're like, you know, Heavy Meta doesn't put out any merch anymore, and I'm like, holy shit, guys, I didn't want to overload people.
I'm getting hit up for hoodies, too. So,
I guess it's been a year almost, so, alright guys, like, if you want them, we can make it happen. We got our connections. I'm gonna hit up, our man, Basic Lands. I'll give him a shout and we'll see what we want to do. If you have any specific requests this time, if you don't want the same old black and red one, you want to try something different, let me know. We can absolutely do that. In fact, it might be kind of cool this year. We could just do plain hoodies, or we could do a shirt. And the first shirt we ever did was the year one. And so this year we could do 100. We actually made an episode. You know, Heavy Meta, 100. We did it, you know? Something cool like that. So maybe we'll get both of those out before the end of the year, guys. I know 100's creeping up on us pretty quick, but never fear. We are doing our best
to get these. You guys might be the only podcast that actually did a 100th episode.
No,
I'm sure everyone else avoided it.
Jinxing, we haven't done it yet.
No, I got to give a huge shout out to Tap and Sack. Those guys hit 100.
They just hit 100.
Yeah, so a huge shout out to those guys. Brainstorm Brewery did it too, so those guys are out there. There's a few.
But they all like hid their 100th episode, right?
No, they just don't yell loud enough.
That's what I'm saying. Didn't put one out.
if you were in Portland, you'd realize nobody yells as loud as Heavy Meta. No one.
That's right.
Nobody even talks as loud as us. We are boisterous men.
I feel like I've been told many times I haven't.
Shut up.
And to shut the fuck up.
So speaking of talking loud, do we get to talk about spoilers?
Yes. This is, we've got a few questions for you, my good sir, but, we're gonna start the show off with some craziness. First off, not even a plug. This is not even a plug. I haven't, the last set I ordered physical cards for was Return to Ravnica because I was that hyped. And I ordered a box just because I was like, I have to have a box, and then I got caught up in Guild Wars, right? But I didn't order any Theros, didn't order Gatecrash, none of that. Didn't order any boxes. I have ordered a box of fucking cons because this...
It is not...
Well, I had the credit built up, but I'm just like, I have not... the fetch lands are cool, and I'm like, yeah, that's definitely a reason.
They're also $20 bills.
Yeah, they are. But this set just looks in fucking sane. Like, honestly, I know everyone's gonna yell at me and be like, stop it with the cube shit. But like, now my eyes are tainted, so when I look at cards, I don't know, now I even want to play standard, which is horrible, but, I look at...
even looking at this set with all the mana fixing that they have now, it feels like cube.
It does!
Play the awesome cards that you want to play, go have fun.
I'll just finish the thought on cube, but there's for me personally, I know TSG and a few others say there's three or four cards. I think there's like six or seven. I think there's a lot of cards that are just going to make cube fun. Like, they just look like, yeah, like, I think cube 2 is something that is not just you build a cube and you never touch it. It's this ever-growing living entity that changes. Like, hey, you want to... Yeah, you got to keep spicing it up. Because even me, just, like, test drafting things, I'm like, I could see, like, certain things getting repetitive. Like, oh, Stormforge Mystic Sword.
As you bring stuff in, you know, new sets come out, and they may not get a whole bunch of inclusions, but there might be an inclusion that takes something out or makes something irrelevant. And so then that comes out, but that changes this. And so, yeah, you kind of got to go through and rework things here and there, and that's what makes it fun.
All right, so let's jump in, because I honestly, like, when you looked at the last sets that were released, we got all the hype shit in the first week, and they hold back one or two cards, and you're like, oh, that's interesting. This has been, like, every fucking day. Boom! Have you seen this card? Can you fucking believe
more
this?
And more shit.
And I think, honestly, they weren't shitting when they decided to go all standard Pro Tours. I think they knew, like, we always yell at them, like, they don't know what they're fucking doing. But I think there was some foresight, and
they knew that they were gonna fucking release this shit.
I think the set's good enough that we could do, you know, four of these, and that only leaves huge hope for me. What the fuck's in the next set? Because if they thought this was good, obviously they think that there's big punches and amazing splash shit coming that's gonna make shit even more exciting. So I'm blown away, but we're jumping into spoilers right now, and I'm starting it off with a card that I believe is pushed beyond anything I have seen. It just sounds absurd. I think it's a huge flavor fail, personally, but we're talking about Surak Dragonclaw. He is a human legendary warrior, 6/6 with flash. Already sounds retarded. He can't be countered, and he's 5 mana. Yeah, he's hard to cast color-wise.
He's not hard to cast. The Raka Morph guy casts him.
I know, yep. I know, right? On turn four. But three. Here's what's, yeah, turn three even, yeah. But the creatures, you, okay, then he has like, this is crazy. Why would you even staple this on this guy? First of all, he's a titan for five that has flash. That's already crazy. And then he's like, oh yeah, all your other spells? All your creature spells? Yeah, don't worry, it's Cavern of Souls for everybody. Everyone. Not just one type of creature. Yeah. Not even just his clan. All creatures. And then other yeah. creatures. Oh, and then by the way, you know what? All your other creatures have trample. Ah, fuck it. What the fuck is that? That's yeah. insane. That is now, insane.
And can we add on top of it, like, I mean, the guy cut a bear in half to make a suit out of it.
Like, yeah, that's pretty
come
badass.
The fuck on. That is gangster as fuck. Like, he's all, you know what? Check this out. He's like, you see all these abilities? He's like, you want to know why I get all of this shit? Look at me. I am an insatiable badass. I cut a bear in half. Like, and if you look at, you know, and the spoilers right next to it is Savage Punch. It's him punching that bear in the face.
actually,
then he cuts it in half and makes a suit out of it.
If you read the world building and the planeswalker thing, it's actually his lieutenant punching the bear in the face. But
oh,
anyways,
so he just has his lieutenant do it, yeah, and then yeah. he just cuts it in half and makes a fuck. I personally want to see somebody cosplay as this motherfucker, as Sirek.
Oh, like, yes.
I want to see the fucking bear rug cut in half and worn as a fucking cape.
If there was a creature in cons that was me, it's this guy. That's just, I'm from Canada, we got bears, I fought wolverines, I mean, that is me, I love it, I think it's great. I just think, in all honesty, it's a little bizarre that a human is 6'6 with trample and can beat, like, a titan. Which kind of, like, feels, like, flavor-wise, I don't know. The art isn't even look like he's that, he's just the guy standing there with a bear head. I mean, it's cool, I'm not knocking it.
He's cut a bear in half to make a cape out of it, like, he is not human, it says human.
Okay. It's a Batman. It's a Batman thing. I get it, right? He's so good, he doesn't have to show his powers. He's wearing a fucking bear head. I get
this
it.
This is one of the cards that the standard rug deck was looking for.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just...
And he comes in with a voice of reason. Like, hey, let's actually talk about the magic implications here.
Oh, this guy's absolutely... This guy's insane. He's awesome. 100% standard playable.
I agree that standard looks... absurd. I mean, I don't even know, for everyone out there who's on the closed beta, I'm not sure. I mean, they did say that the closed beta isn't going to be around forever. The whole point of the closed beta was as we were transitioning. So for those MTGO players, I know that, you know, you're like, oh, I can't wait to play cons early. I'm not so sure that it's going to happen this time, but I hope it does, just because I would love to see some interactions with these cards early if I can, but I don't know. It might be ending sooner than we think, but if it does... This guy I'm actually going to brew around. I think there's just so many cards that are mind-blowing. The one card that I've been saying now for 2 weeks now is Stormbreath Dragon. I think that card is extremely powerful. I think that card is going to be a finisher in a lot of decks.
Whew.
With some new stuff.
And it's, you know, and the biggest thing that I'm noticing too is, like, right off the bat, you know, I saw, like, the biggest downfall I saw, because a lot of these cards are fucking powerful that we've been seeing all the way through spoilers. But that big drawback is, of course, I mean, fucking everything is fucking two different or three different colors because it's a fucking wedge set. And it's like, you know, with some of the shit we were saying before, it's like, man, it's still really hard to cast at, like, three of those fucking five mana are three different colors. But the fucking fixing in fucking this set is just ridiculous.
I just want to put this out there. The day before they spoiled the banners, I said, all we need in this set to make this perfect is clue stones. And everyone laughed at me.
It's insane. I mean,
they're clue stones. So they're worse than clue stones.
What's that?
They're worse than clue stones. They cost colored mana to do. They're the exact same as clue stones, but they cost colored mana to cycle.
You've got these fucking, you've got the banners, you've got these, what do you call them, the fucking, the opposite of the Painted Lands,
steps or whatever they used to be, Zendikar, but now they're just common.
Yeah.
I think they're great.
Fucking, you know, you've got common mana fixing, you've got the fetch lands, you've got the tricolor lands, and you've got the banners all in the fucking set. Like, that's, four cycles of fucking mana fixing in this set. It's like, so it's starting to just look like it's going to be so much easier to cast these fucking things. So that like power level that they were like, a lot of these cards that I looked at earlier on going, man, this is an awesome card. If it cost one less or one less color to fucking cast, it would be good, but it's not because it's three different fucking colors. Now it's like, well, shit. I mean, you can pretty much do whatever the fuck you want to as far as mana goes in this set.
Insane. I think it's going to be dangerous, like that whole cycle of 10 lands that gain you a life but are dual lands but end of the battle tapped. I think they're incredible, like well done, perfect for the set. And I think draft, like in draft, it just feels like between the banners, these, the times you're going to see a fetch land, it really does feel like you can be open all the way into like pack two. You could have three colors and still be like, I could take a fourth. Like, it just feels like it's absurd. I cannot wait to draft this set. I think it's amazing. I think these cards are actually really good. I feel like it's going to be slow. Like, the more colors you play, these faster colors, like, it's going to be a real balance of, like, in standard, trying to survive Rabble Red. You know, let's say, like, can I get the turn three to cast my charm?
Time's not the only thing, right? Like, in standard, we still have cards like Drown and Sorrow.
We do.
Yeah.
That is a definitely underplayed card right now.
Ulcerate. I mean,
Ulcerate's not so good. There's a few light red removals, but a board sweeper in black that lets you scry one on three mana will kill everything that Rabble Red plays.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, again, it's like getting that mana. Like,
but yeah, I mean, like, some of these three color decks are just going to be turn one, turn two. You're either playing Elvish Mystic or you're playing your mana fixing.
Yeah, well, that's right. The thing, right? Like, if you look at it, you want to play green. I feel like every deck I want to build starting with green.
Like, or Anger of the Gods, because you need to play green.
Yeah, well, I mean, but Anger of the Gods feels like I would play that in a green red deck. Like,
then it's going to kill your Caryatids and it's going to kill your Elvish Mystics. But I feel like I think every good deck is going to start with green.
Yeah, it just feels like what other cards in here do you like, man?
My favorite card so far is, let's find it here, the Murderous Cut. Is that what it's called?
Is that the black?
Oh yeah, yeah.
The black destroy target creature. Yeah, Murderous Cut. That card has implications beyond just standard. Being a one mana instant spell that you just exile four cards from your graveyard to destroy any creature, that card's legit.
One mana, one black at instant, and yeah, you got to ditch four fucking cards into your
If it's even if it's three cards and one in a black, it's still better than Doomblade and Go for the Throne.
Right. But you know what it isn't better than?
What?
Dismember. Like it feels like Dismember. Like, okay, I looked at this card for a long time, and I looked at it in terms of, okay, if I have access to black, I'm probably playing already good removal. So your argument is, like, for Dismember is like, hey, I could play it in Green Machine because who gives a fuck if I could take four life if I have no other options. But this is like, I gotta have those cards in my graveyard and I have to have a black. If it casts for colorless, I think this card would be absurdly broken, but I feel like it's a little bit of a trick. It's not so easy to get off.
I think this will be a good card. I think this will see play. I think people will try and even play it in Modern. But I mean, Herb Orb.
Oh no, I agree with you. I think
totally fine.
I think it's fine. True. Like, I agree with Matt. It's like middle of the road. I think, you know, Maddie is right in the sense of like, I personally would play Dismember over this card if I had the choice between the two. In most cases, but at the same time, like, this is a very viable option too. Depending on what, you know, depending on the deck that you're in, depending on whether you have access to black or not, I think that this is still a very good fucking card, a very good fucking removal spell. I think Dismember is a better fucking card, but this is right underneath it.
Yep, agreed.
All right, let's talk about the number one card in the set that I need in foil, and I would never like consider pre-ordering or trading on day one for a foil copy of a card. But this card, I could easily see, like, I'll just give you what you want.
Especially now that you have a cube.
Yes, clever impersonator is the best clone that has ever been printed, I believe.
Yep.
It's 4 mana, 2 blue, 2 colorless. It's a creature, shapeshifter, 0/0, but it basically copies any non-land permanent. What the fuck? Finally, and I called this, guys. I called this. We would have a clone target planeswalker, something like that, a couple episodes ago, and I am blown away that we have this card. I think it is I don't know if it's so standard playable. It feels like it's going to be a very good card in standard, for sure, but I don't think it's like broken or anything. But in modern, this card feels like very good. Very, very good. In legacy, maybe even. Oh, you got your Jace? I'll take a Jace. Ah, he's Jace number 5. I mean, he's Jace the Mind Sculptor number 5 through 8 if you want it. Like, it's just crazy. I don't even know what to say. I think this card is so good. And in Cube, it's going to be absurd. What do you guys think?
What I think this card's actual best friend is possibly a Blue Moon deck in Modern, but you want to be copying Batterskulls with this because your Batterskull is going to be immune to all the removal that kills the token, and the Clever Imposter itself is going to have the Batterskull ability to return it back to your hand.
Now, here's a question. So if I play this and I copy a Planeswalker, and then I Resto Angel, could I bounce it, or I couldn't because it's a Planeswalker?
Exactly.
Okay, so it doesn't stay a creature. It becomes a copy of that permanent. Okay, gotcha.
Correct. They had to put the power and toughness on the card in case it was a creature.
Yeah,
but gotcha. Copying your Batterskull or even their Batterskull and being able to bounce back to your hand and then copy their Keranos when they play it.
Yeah, I could see that.
I think that's where this is good. And being blue casting cost, I mean, it fits right into Blue Moon because your win conditions are actually just Batterskull anyways.
I like that. I like where you're thinking there. That's good. That is pretty sweet. The other card that I wanted to talk about, which I think is just, again, it's in Japanese or something. I can't even read it, but I know that there's, it's called Blood Soaked Champion. It is a 2/1 one drop in black, rare. Human Warrior, and it feels very much like Bloodghast. And instead of the landfall mechanic, it's like a raid mechanic. So it has raid, 1 and a black. You got to pay for it, unfortunately. But you return him from the graveyard to the battlefield, and you can only activate it if you have attacked with a creature. Now, with Bloodghast, he would just drop a land, boom, he came right back in, but he was 2 to cast. This is a 1-drop. Another aggressive, incredibly aggressive black 1-drop. Wow. Wow. The there was already that crazy Suicide Black deck. I feel like black and red are gonna be the aggro sides of standard. You know, like those are the decks that you can't lose to. And if you could survive to turn X, whatever it is, 5 or 6, and drop your bombs, you might win. But
otherwise, you're dead.
This card is so good. I even think maybe it's, well, it probably doesn't have room in your deck, your black-red deck, Kemi, but it's close.
Well, what I like about this card, especially in new standard, is it goes well with Grim Heru's Becks, the 3/2 morph creature for 2 black that morphs for 1 black, and it says whenever another non-token creature you control dies, draw a card.
Yeah, I could see it.
Just having a creature that you can attack with every turn, they're either going to chump it and you get to draw a card, or they're going to take 2.
Right.
Yeah. And then since you attacked with that creature, you've already activated raid, so if they chump it, you just get to cast it again.
Right.
Yeah, I totally could see that. Totally could see that.
I think that guy's pretty good.
Now, the card that actually, funny enough, that I believe Kevy, if he's going to build a standard deck, I think he's going to definitely be building a Butcher of the Horde standard deck.
Oh, yes.
Butcher of the Horde, dude. That guy is fucking dope.
Kevy,
and the art on it is amazing.
Kevy, it's basically Kevy Metal holding the bones of his victims.
It's the bones from that bear.
I see how you guys see me now. I get it.
read this one off for people.
Butcher the Horde, we got fucking black, red, and white, and 1 to cast. He's a flying 5/4. Sack another creature. Butcher of the Horde gains your choice of vigilance, lifelink, or haste until end of turn. That's just fucking nutty, man. And like I said before, I kept looking at a lot of these cards. Not when this one is, like, especially, because this is cheap to cast. But I kept looking at these cards going, like, fuck, man, you know, getting all 3 colors in it. But, dude, it's so easy to do now. It's, like, that just seems way too powerful to me at this point. With like the mana fixing that's involved in this set and, you know, and standard altogether, like 4 mana for a 5/4 flyer is pretty nice anyway.
Like, think about this guy and Brimaz.
Sack another fucking creature? Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that they didn't throw that shitty little non-token creature clause
exactly,
in there. It's
exactly.
Just another creature. You got a fucking token generator? Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
If you take a shell of this guy, Brimaz, and then some sweepers like Drown in Sorrow, and then your actual good removal, like Lightning Strike and Stoke the Flames, then you can actually just beat those Rabble Red and Aggressive decks with your 2 and 3 mana sweepers that Brimaz is going to live to, and then this can be your finisher. Like, this guy plus...
Cone of Flame, even, is...
This guy like plus...
It's, just to sacrifice another creature, colon, so, I mean, you can do this fucking
multiple
more
times. Yeah. Exactly, so you could use, Raise the Alarm to give this guy Vigilance and Lifelink.
Yeah. Fucking, just start shitting out tokens and then fucking sacrificing them.
Oh my god, that's crazy. I didn't realize you could sack more than one creature.
Yep.
What?
What about Assemble the Legion? Can we just fucking...
No, it's rotating.
Aw, oh, damn it.
Nice try. I mean, I think that card sounds... Oh, man, like, there's some freaking power. Like, what's the removal? Like, what do we got that kills stuff? That's what I'm starting to think now. I'm like, there's a lot of power. There's a lot of options here for what you want to build now. Yeah, but what are you killing shit with?
Well, that Black-White Exile card, what's that called? Utter End? That's gonna actually have a full art promo, which is super awesome.
Yes.
That's a real card.
And don't forget, we got Silence the Believers. That card is real.
This is all 4 mana removal, which is fine because this demon guy doesn't have green in his casting cost, so it's not like he's coming out on turn 3.
Right. Yeah, I mean we've got
it's a real 4-drop.
I mean, let's talk about some good removal spells. We got Abzan Charm. And that has got a pretty sweet-ass mode on it. So we're talking white, black, green, instant, choose one, exile target creature with power 3 or greater.
I also brought this up on Twitter today. From here on out, that's Azkaban,
Azkaban charm. Nice. Potter, I think this is probably one of the best charms. It feels modern playable. The modes are so good.
Also known as the Vagina Gang Sign.
Yes. Yes, this Vagina Gang Sign charm. So you can exile target creature with three or power, greater. You can draw 2 cards and lose 2 life, so Sign of Blood. Distribute 2+1 counters among 1 or 2 target creatures. Whoo, man.
I like
just
how open that, again, back to the wording. Like, I like how that's worded too, cause you can throw both of those on one. Cause a lot of times they like to word that where you basically, you have, say you got one creature out. You have to put one on him, and you can't, if you don't have anything else, you can't put it on there. But I like that you can do 1 or 2, distribute 2 among 1 or 2 target creatures. That helps a lot, because you can throw those 2 on something if you want to, and yada yada.
Yeah.
They seem to be, it's like, where I'm used to them kind of neutering it with the wording of the cards, like, a lot of these spoilers that come out, I'm just like, oh, it's gonna have that clause. Oh, wait, no, it doesn't. Like, they're actually kind of giving us a lot of fucking range in this set, which I like a lot.
Well, yeah. my favorite charm of them all has to be the Jeskai charm, the blue, red, white charm, because that removal is put target creature on top of its owner's library, but it's not attacking or blocking creature, and it's not instant.
Time Warp.
So it's just Time Walk them.
Oh.
Its second mode is 4 to the dome, and its third is all your creatures get +1/+1 in lifelink until end of turn. That's insane.
Yeah, that's fucking
insane.
Yeah,
and
this screams like a blue, white, red Delver deck.
Yeah.
Where you get Lightning Bolt, Lightning Helix, and some light counter spells.
Mm-hmm. Yep, 100%. In fact,
Maddie, that's that fucking that deck is where that fucking goddamn it, was it the Call of the Horde or something, like a Howl of the Horde card you were talking to me about last week, where you get to fucking replicate those spells and shit. That's the deck that fits in.
The Raid Fork.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It could be, yeah. Get aggressive and then, yeah.
I mean, yeah, you literally can, because that's when you have the time to start to use that. Like I said, it's not going to work in my burn deck because I don't want to waste fucking 3 mana on that when I can just use fucking bolts instead. But, like, in that fucking, like, Delver-style deck where you have creatures attacking, you have shit like that, but you also have, you know, you've got access to blue, so you're kind of, it's more of a little bit of a tempo game, and then you just, like, oh, you know, smack you with a Delver and bolt for fucking nine.
Check this out.
The more that I'm the more that I'm looking at this card, it just screams like it wants to be in a red-white burn deck that only plays Delver and Snapcaster.
I love it. I was just going to say, so for
like,
Standard...
That just seems actually really good.
Yeah, so check it out. So for Standard, I've been brewing this deck, which is porting over the red-white burn deck and then adding blue. So we've got Mind Swipe, which we're going to talk about because that card is Counterspell plus just burn you. What the fuck? Counter target spell and just like dump all your mana and fireball someone? What? So imagine you're just splashing for that. Maybe one more counter. You've got Jeskai Charm and then red and white burn. I think there's actually a creatureless control burn deck. Like, what? This sounds fun as shit for Standard. Well, I'm so excited, man.
But that Howl of the Horde, are you talking about with that Howl of the Horde?
I don't know if Howl of the Horde's in it.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Creatureless, that's not going to do you any good.
Oh, but, well, maybe. I mean, okay. You want creatures?
That is the raid thing, but yeah, I mean, if you got Delver and Snapcaster, like, that's fine.
I mean, you know, if you want to play things, like, look, we've got...
Well, Deflecting Palm seems pretty good at this point, too, right?
Yeah, that's a card I wanted to talk about.
Talk to the hand.
Yeah, that card, actually, I like a lot, but it's like, you know, again, it doesn't quite fit into the into my burn deck, but I feel like this card definitely has a fucking spot. And I feel like it doesn't have a spot in my deck because I play Eidolon. And I feel like it's going to end up, I mean, that's just another fucking spell. I'm going to take damage off of Eidolon. I don't know. Like, the only time I see me playing that card is in, like, the Burn Mirror. And
I'm totally building this Jeskai Delver deck.
Jeskai Delver.
It seems so good.
It does. It just, and then so many
four damage to the face spells, and that's where, like, the math gets really tight.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Exactly.
Yeah. When Boros Charm plus this.
I'm limited to, like, in my shit, I'm limited to Boros Charm as a 4 damage to the face.
Well, all of these just straight up beat Spellskite, too.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
That's what makes it even
better. Oh, damn.
Does this mean that I may end up having to actually get into playing blue and fucking shit?
Wait, blue cards, okay?
It's Delver and Snapcaster. These are actually just like extensions of burn spells.
Right, exactly. you're absolutely right.
How fucked up is that? Like, Kevy, he's like, I'll play black, I'll play... Look, I'm going into white, guys.
Well,
maybe even green. No, he's like, blue?
He's
going to play a blur.
That they just print cards in the wrong color. Like, Termagoyf is actually a blue creature.
Yes.
What's that?
No matter what, Termagoyf is actually a blue creature.
Yeah, that's true.
They just, you know, put different mana symbols on these cards, so it's fine. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think, like, another deck, like, you can already see...
Somebody today, they were talking about me fucking running some blue tempo, blue-red tempo, and I told them, I was just like, blue cards give me a skin rash. Like, this is why I don't fucking play them.
Well, just think of Snapcaster as, like, a blue mana red creature.
I have a red Snapcaster.
Hey, Snapcaster is red.
No, I have a red foil Snapcaster. Yeah. It's fucking...
Oh, yes, you
do. I got that shit from Sub Stevie, and it's fucking awesome, and I really want to play that someday.
you come out to face-to-face for a game, and we'll just allow you to play modern.
If we can talk about proxy cards just for a second.
Sure.
We, at the store here, have started something that we call the Community Project Cube.
Ooh.
And it's a 360-page binder. Uh-huh. Proxies only, community donated. Once that binder's full, we'll have a store cube that people are free to come and play whenever they want. The only stipulations are we want it to be 100% proxied, so we don't have to worry about theft or anything like that.
Right. And you'll still end up with some awesome cards, but that is fucking sweet.
So far, we have dual lands, all power, and then some staples. We have a few black planeswalkers. We have a few alternate art stuff. We have a pretty cool Imperial Seal, Damnation. But if you come by the store, obviously, Kevy, you'll have a bit of a trip. But when you come by the store, you just grab the binder, you open it up, you see what we do and don't have, and you don't.
Done.
Dude, I've still got some things for you.
I do too. I'll bring some down, for sure.
Kevy, I'll get you the address. You can mail them. And if you want, because they're proxies, sign the back of the card.
Yes.
We want people who donate to the cube to sign the back of the card so
we know
we can have that. Yeah, exactly.
I like that.
We
got to get Jason Mong. We got to get Les. We got to get some of the proxy family. So all you Proxy Factory guys, if you want, hey, man, help the cube out. That would be amazing. Like, that'd your proxies awesome. In the store cube. I think that's awesome. Make what a sure great idea.
Sign, make sure you sign the card. Yeah. Front or back, it doesn't matter. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Now, are you
well,
just
shit,
looking
like that? Because, like, this is all going to be sleeved when everybody's playing,
yep,
correct?
Yep.
So, like, you could kind of do what you want to on the backs of it. Like, you know, Z.
Try
you know,
and
you
keep it the... PG. We do have a lot of young.
Oh, no.
Here,
what
so
I mean is.
This isn't
oh, absolutely.
Cube or anti.
No, but what I mean is, you, like, with the backs of it, they can do, like, as, you know, if say, like, Z wants to, you know, donate a proxy or two.
Oh,
to,
yeah. Print it on whatever he wants.
He can do, like, his Z logo across absolutely. The back, you know, and stuff like that. Like, he does
absolutely.
With our token. Yeah. I like it.
That I is do awesome. Too. That's awesome.
It's such a good idea.
Now, yep. Do you need
good ideas?
Do you probably have some of the cheaper and the common cards that you don't need proxy, right?
We literally don't have anything, but I want the whole thing
okay.
to be proxy. Part
right.
of it is
okay.
we want everyone to contribute as
yeah,
entirely.
It's a community. Yeah.
So like whatever anybody wants to do, I'm sure there's some really sweet alternate art Savannah lines people have worked on, and some of those smaller cards that are cube
for
essentials.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Done.
We definitely want it to be all proxies.
That is so sweet, man. I love it. That's a great idea, and I am just totally into this, and I'm going to go start making proxies when I get done with this podcast.
Sweet. Love to have them.
Now, like, another card I want to talk about, which is, like, again, I don't even know if this card is, like, super... It's probably not playable. It's probably kind of interesting and limited. I don't even know. Is Meandering Tower Shell... So this is a very bizarre card. It feels like you're going to cast this, and you're going to lose the game, because it's a 5-mana 5/9 with Island Walk, but so here's what happens. On 5-mana, you cast it. You can't do anything. Then next turn, you go to attack, and you exile it. And then next turn after that, it comes back while it's attacking and kills your guy. Like, I just feel like this card is, what are they doing? Why? I get the flavor. It's cool. It's slow. Yeah, it should have been a 9/9 or a 10/10 trample with hex. Like, it should be, if you wait 3 fucking turns, you should kill the guy. Like, you know, like, it should have been, way better, because
I feel like
you're going to wait 3 turns.
I had to throw some bad cards in there.
Oh, like, is that the fucking thing again? Oh, come on. Mero and his bad cards are bad for bad reasons? Sure. I'll play that
maybe
game.
I don't know. Like, I mean, like, along those lines, like, I feel the same way about this fucking golem, the Witness of the Ages. It's a 4/4 for 6. It morphs for 5.
Yeah, that's...
And it's just a fucking vanilla 4/4 golem. Like, it just seems... And it's at uncommon. Like I could see maybe that being a common, but that at uncommon is just, like, underpowered for a whole bunch of mana. Like, it just seems silly.
I don't know. Maybe you just use it as your 23rd pick. I don't know. Actually, you probably don't. There's so much better stuff in the set. Like,
but, yeah, I mean, they're bad cards.
The golem guy from M12 that, like, convokes.
That guy's very good. Yeah, that guy's absurd. Let's talk about Siege Rhino for a second, because
that fucking card. Ooh. My man.
Okay, so Siege Rhino. 1 white, black, green. He's a fucking rhino. He's a
This fucking card. This card makes me mad.
I kind of don't like the art on it. I think it could have been better, but it's a 4/5 rhino with trample. And when he enters the battlefield, each opponent loses 3 life, and you gain 3 life? So is this like a fixed Drag Tusk? Kind of. I mean, wow, that sounds really good. Like, this is a 4-of, and it is going to wreck face. I feel this card's really good. 4
it's
mana.
There's two to, like, in a, I don't want to, like, I don't want people blinking this thing.
Well, I haven't, okay, this would be a Tony question. Is there a blink effect yet? I don't think there is.
No.
There's not.
So we do not, and we don't have a blink effect in M15.
Also, I've realized, too, even with the blink effects and moving into older formats, a lot of these cards read when they're turned face up, and when you blink them, they don't turn face up.
Right.
So you're not going to get the trigger, they'll just come back as what they are, which is why the Akrama Angel of Wrath was so cool, because it didn't have an ETB effect, it was just the most badass motherfucker in town.
Right,
but a lot
right.
of these, you have to actually morph them to turn them face up to get a lot of the effects off them. So I think they did a really good job of keeping them from being, like, super busted.
Right. Yeah. Well, but this one, for instance, doesn't have that clause on it. This one's just when it enters.
Yeah,
if
this is a 4 guy that you want to blink, that's fine. But why don't you just, like, cast 4 mana and play Splinter Twin?
Yeah, it's true.
Well, for modern, yeah. I was talking standard.
So, yeah, in standard, I think there's just better things you could be doing in white, black, and green. Like, you can cast this guy on... Yeah, I don't think that black and white are the best cards that go with green. I actually think that the best combination is going to be Rug. This 6-6 guy's insane. Getting the Rackham Mystic to flip and add 4 mana to cast your guys, and then, you know, you're just...
Red
and blue.
I have a very good, like, feeling that people aren't gonna let you flip that dude. Like, it's gonna be Bolt the Bird, it's gonna be Kill the Raka.
But then they're playing horrible cards like Magma Spray that you don't actually care about, and those cards don't touch Courser, and they don't touch Sylvan Caryatid. So if they're playing, there is no, like, light one mana removal spell that also goes to the face.
Right.
Right? There's no Lightning Bolt. There's no Shock. Right, we're not looking at that. There's Magma Spray, and that doesn't even go to the face. So, like, if you want to play a red deck that's playing Magma Spray to kill my Elvish Mystic, I'm still going to win because all the rest of my cards are better.
Right. I mean, right now, we haven't seen the full set yet.
No, you're right, we haven't. But, I mean, I
could be.
Lightning Bolt would do wonders.
Oh, my God. Actually, you know what's funny? I was thinking, because obviously it feels like we went through a no knock against Theros, but I'm going to knock it. It was kind of shitty. Like, in all honesty, it wasn't that powerful. Like, it felt like it was okay. I feel like they're really kicking up standard, and I feel like, okay, they're kind of giving us Mana Leak back on one of these charms. Maybe Bolt is standard playable now? I don't know. Like, that would be... I don't think we'll get it.
I don't think
I'm going to go on record and say Lightning Bolt will never happen again. I don't think Lightning Bolt will ever happen
I don't know, man. Maybe. You could be right. I don't know. It probably would blank a lot of the strategy that's going on, but there's so many guys with 4 power toughness that I'm looking at now that it feels like...
I mean, you know, with the power creep, that's fine, but, like, it's just too efficient. Like,
oh, it is. It's good. I'm not saying it's not good.
Like, it's just too damn efficient for it to come back. I really don't think it's ever going to come back. It sucks, but because God knows I'd like to see, because I would think if they ever were to bring it back, they would probably go with different art, you know, like a new art on it. And I would love to see another new art for fucking Lightning Bolt, but I just don't think it's ever going to come back. It's just too goddamn efficient of a fucking burn spell.
I have no problem with it not coming back. In fact, I kind of like it in Modern. It's cool. So we get a break from it. But I mean, like, you look at a card like Savage Knuckle Blade. Like, that's a 3-mana 4/4 with,
That dude's fucking awesome.
It's just retarded, retarded abilities. Like, I look at what, like, okay, Rug is going to drop that guy in 3. Mantis Rider.
That guy can play him on 2.
Oh, shit, that's right. So, yeah, with elves.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
He's dirty. And then you got, like, Mantis Rider, which is, like, a 3/3 flying vigilance haste. And that's kind of like the Jeskai color. Actually, that looks really good in a freaking Jeskai color burn counter deck. I think he'd be very good. But still, like, Knuckle Blade just outclasses that guy left, right, and center, man. Holy Jesus. Like, standard just looks like it's going to be, if you hit your mana on curve, ooh boy, are you going to be doing powerful, powerful shit. And that is awesome. I am excited to play modern level standard, you know? Like, that's what it feels like. This feels like standard is going to be some fun shit for a while, at least until it gets boring, until someone cracks it all and they realize that, oh yeah, you can actually only play these decks. But I feel like there's a lot of things, man. A lot of good strategies. Now, the one thing I wanted to talk about is I've been looking at Morph and thinking about, because I'm going to be playing quite a bit of standard, or limited with this set for sure. And I know Marcel is going to probably be doing it as well online. And I'm wondering, is Morph... There's, like, kind of these, like, add-on, make Morph kind of better cards. You got Trail of Mystery, which is that enchantment that kind of makes all your Morph dudes better. And then you've got, what's the other one? You got Secret Plans. But then again, I'm looking and saying, yeah, and maybe you could draft the Morph, bonus Morph deck, you know? But you're like, okay, I'm casting an enchantment that does nothing if I don't have anything. It just feels like that deck could get you killed really quick if you have no Morph guys to go with all these bonus things. And I'm wondering, like, Is there, is Morph in Limited going to be this thing that you just do for value, or is it a dedicated strategy?
I think it's like Minotaurs, whereas if you open a couple of rares that are Morph-centric, you just draft everything that morphs and then don't care about anything. But if you're, I don't think you're pack one picking one a creature just because it has Morph on it.
No, that's true. But it is going to be something that you can cast, like, without worrying about color. So that's something that I feel is kind of powerful, right? Like, you don't need to get your fixing early in the game because you're morphing your dudes. And then it allows you time to, I don't know, dig into those lands that you needed, right? Like, it feels interesting. It's a tension there.
Well, one thing I want to talk about real quick as far as rules go and play environment, we're going to be fostering it in store very heavily, is that when you are done playing a match of Magic and you have morph creatures on the battlefield, what do you do?
Now you don't have to reveal them, right? You can
You do. When your match is over, reveal them. You don't have to, but get into the habit of just showing your opponents that you weren't cheating. Because once you get to competitive REL, the expectation changes from a regular REL.
Okay, wait, I have a question then. Okay, so game one, I don't want to give anything away to my opponent. So, like, you're saying the match, right? When the match is done, but like game one, if I win and I don't want to show my morph creatures, I feel like that's giving information away if I show them.
If you're at a regular REL, if you're at FNM, my suggestion is to show your creatures.
Yeah.
Get into the habit. I can't comment specifically on what it's going to be like at competitive REL, but at regular REL, that's what we're going to foster in our community, and that's what we're going to push really heavily, is that when your match is done, just show your creatures. When your game's over, just show that you have morph creatures.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't imagine some cheating. That's...
I mean, it is.
When morph was in this, when morph was in the format before, it was an issue.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there are known cases of people, professional players, who would play morph creatures and scoop them up before the match was over, never even getting a chance to see if they were actually the two.
That's dirty then. I agree. That makes sense. That's
so the amount of strategy you're going to gain versus the amount of scumbaggery you're going to avoid.
Well, I can't wait for someone to tell that story. Oh, yeah, I made him flip up his basic land, and I lost to a 2-2. Yeah, it makes sense. That makes sense.
Good habits. I agree.
It sucks when when the meta settles down and, like, say, for instance, there's really only a few more creatures being used. That giving that information away, like, I definitely get where you're coming from, but it kind of sucks in the sense that it's like, all right, well, that information, like, when the meta shakes out and there isn't, like, you know, oh, just all these different morph creatures and all these different decks, and there's like two or three morph creatures, that can, like, literally tell the difference between what deck the guy's playing or what version of the deck the guy's playing, it to show him what fucking morph creature is there. And I don't know, that gets kind of weird.
Well, I mean, I think to prevent cheating and, like I said, any, to quote myself, scumbaggery, it's worth it.
No, and that's fair. Like, you know, especially like in a store environment like that. I mean, I guess it's a different story when you're at a very competitive fucking, like, competitive REL, or, like, you know, on Moto where you don't have to worry about that shit.
Or at home on the kitchen table. Right?
Yeah,
those are all different environments.
But I get where you're coming from. That makes sense. Like, it's gonna be the lesser of two evils to show those cards at your Friday Night Magics and shit like that.
It kind of reminds me of when Miracles was big and standard, and people who weren't playing Miracles would still draw their cards slow. Is that slow play?
Right.
You don't have a miracle in your deck at all, but you can still act like everyone else who does, and you're not going to get called for slow play on a judge.
Right.
That's a borderline strategy scumbaggery.
Right. So this sort of is reminiscent of that,
still, even at that, like, Moto gives you the option to fucking, like, literally four miracles. When you're, like, going through your settings to set your stops and stuff, it literally gives you an upkeep. But, like, pause, and it says in parentheses to feign a miracle or to bluff miracle or something like that. You can set an upkeep pause on Moto to basically bluff a miracle. And it's written into the fucking program. So, I mean, that's one of those things where, like, I mean, I get what you're saying. Like, you could, you know, with miracles, even though you're not playing fucking miracles, you can, you know, slow play or essentially and draw your cards slow and wait and wait and wait and not get called by a judge. But they wrote that shit straight into the fucking program for Moto.
Yep.
So, that's one of those weird gray areas that I don't think there's any real right answer to it.
I think the right answer will come out very quickly. Give it like 2 weeks of tournaments.
There will
be a definite ruling on this.
Well, hey, guys, Alex Bertoncini's back, so he'll be the one to break this. He'll be the one to break this.
Yeah.
We need a t-shirt. What is it? Show your morphs. Show your morphs.
Show me your morphs.
Show me your morphs, or I call you Bertoncini. Don't be a Bertoncini. Show me your morphs.
Show me your tutus.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Tony, you're a genius.
That's a good one.
All right, let's talk about a card, because this card, I know it's probably jank, it's probably pointless, but it's a card that just gets my like mind spinning, and that's Hardened Scales. One green enchantment, and it says if one or more 1/1 counters would be placed on a creature you control, that many plus one counters are placed on instead. And I bring this up not necessarily for standard, because I get there's a little bit of a counter theme going on, which sounds cool, but with undying creatures.
Yeah.
And especially with my familiarity with Strangleroot Geist in the Green Machine, I think this card is badass. I don't know why I like it so much, but I feel like, oh my god, like...
So, Maddie, wow. what I've been playing in my Green Machine deck recently, and I lent someone out to play tonight at our Wednesday Night Modern, was Predator Ooze. This card's insane with Predator Ooze.
Predator Ooze is awesome.
Oh, my God, yeah. Predator Ooze just gets two counters every turn.
Ooh. If they're not playing Path, this card's insane. Plus two, plus two every turn. Plus, when they start chumping it, it's another +2/+2.
Oof. Oh, my God. Is that right? Oh,
yeah,
Jesus
every time
Christ.
They get a counter, right? So if you're playing Experiment 1, Strangleroot Geist, and Predator Ooze instead of, let's say, like Leatherback Bale with a Groundbreaker, this card might actually be pretty good.
Wow. Uh-huh. Wow. Yeah, I don't know. It just feels... It feels good, man. I don't know. It's probably a card that, like, you're going to regret playing. I get it. Like, in Green Machine... As a one of, as a spicy, like, oh, look what I got. Then it's like you should have just played another Thrun. Like, I feel like it's probably not good, but
well,
the inner...
Well, this bow is pretty good too, right?
Exactly. That's what I was saying, right?
Exactly. I think we might be looking at something here.
Okay, maybe I'm overestimating. Okay, you know what? I'll tell you this. It bears testing. We will...
Yeah, sure.
For you folks, we're going to test it. I think you have to test it as a two of. And we probably have to tweak a few creatures in there to get the right mix to, like, benefit. I think you're right. Predator Ooze, for sure. Geist, and I don't know. There's got to be something else that we're missing.
More bow. We'll we need two bows, main deck. Like, you got to be resolving a bow and using it every game.
Probably you do. Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. So we'll figure that out. It just feels like it's a neat card, but maybe it's a waste.
Cost is right. If this was two mana, it would be completely unplayable.
Agreed.
But the fact that it's only one mana actually is kind of relevant, because you can go turn one, experiment one, turn two, Hardened Scales, play Dryad Militant, and you have a 3/3.
Mm-hmm. Or you can go turn one, Elvish Mystic, Elvish Mystic, turn two, you know, I don't know, something else. I mean, there's a lot. You could do a lot with this. I think...
Well, this card makes Experiment 1 regenerate way easier, too, right? Because that's kind of the problem with Experiment 1, is you make him a 2/2 and he dies. So if you play Experiment 1 into Hardened Scales and a 2/1, then now he can regenerate
right
away.
He's a 3/3, yeah.
He's a 3/3. So that actually is kind of relevant.
That is actually very relevant. That's, okay. Well, there you go, folks. Well, we're brewing Green Machine. We're tweaking it. It's Green Machine version 2.
Yeah, I think we're probably on version 6 or 7, but...
I know. Not official things. The card I wanted to get your...
I actually wanted to get your thoughts on this one, Maddie, because you brought it to my attention earlier, and of course, again, it doesn't fit into my... my burn deck. They never do. But I'm starting to, like I said, like I told you, I was like, God damn it. I'm like, man, all these awesome cards that don't quite hack it in the burn deck, I feel like I need to just build another deck around all of these awesome cards in the same colors. So this Goblin Slide card.
Oh, yes.
This Goblin Slide card you were telling me about. Now, what do you think about this?
Well, tell me what it does. Tell everyone what it does.
It's called Goblin Slide. It's an enchantment. It's an uncommon. It's a red and two. Whenever you cast a non-creature spell, you may pay one colorless. If you do, put a 1/1 red goblin creature token with haste onto the battlefield. Now, I feel like this falls back into our deck we were talking about earlier with old fucking Butcher of the Horde.
Yep.
Because now you get to just shit out goblins and
could
sacrifice them to the butcher. But like, do you actually see any implications? Because of course, the text of the card sounds neat for me. It's like, oh, sweet, all these non-creature spells, all these burn spells I'm casting, I get a fucking 1/1 goblin with haste too. But yeah, I'm not paying fucking 3 for this as an enchantment and then having to pay 1 for each goblin I get out.
Yeah, but maybe
it would work if I didn't have to pay 1.
It
was just every time I cast.
Yeah, well, that'd be called Young Pyromancer.
It would be a worse Young Pyromancer. I mean, I think.
But do you see any implications for that card? Because I like the card. I really like the fucking the. I don't know, maybe it's just the flavor of the card, but I like what it's doing.
At first glance, you look at it and you're like, this is playable, and then you realize that one mana makes it probably unplayable. And if this was one mana, like if it was a red, and it was one to put a creature, it'd be playable. But it's 3 mana, so
yeah, you're taking a whole turn to actually do nothing.
Yeah, right. and then next turn.
Now, like, is there a Goblins deck that might be relevant? Like, it'd be enough to make it worth it?
I don't even think so. I really don't. It's card's a trap, yeah. And in older formats, there's one other card that costs 2 in a red and is an enchantment that is just better.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's Blood Moon.
Yeah.
I like this because I like it not for standard. I probably don't like it in any format. I like it in cube for a reason that red especially, and like red bleeding into black, red bleeding into blue, decks. It feels like sometimes like you're just using red for burn spells. And
this
what else?
This could be a cube splash control, like victory.
Right.
Like if you're playing blue-black control and you splash red for this and lightning bolt, then you're probably on the right track because you just want to like mana leak make a guy.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying, right? So
it will make a guy.
Exactly. Yeah, a good Gitaxian Probe, yeah, take 2, pay 1, make a guy. Like
lightning bolt, make a guy. The fact that it only costs 1 red is actually like a bonus for it.
Right. Like the reason I would want that card in there is because I would also want Young Pyromancer, and I would kind of like be encouraging you to build or draft this, you know, counter burn, but also upside of making dudes deck.
Yeah,
so,
I think it's a totally splashable card into some like control strategies. So
yeah, it's a card. It could honestly be a card that you play once and go, that was totally underwhelming and never play again. I don't know. But chances are, from what people with way more experience than I have in cube have said, that don't. But I'm gonna try it anyways because it's my experience, right?
That's part of the experience. You get to learn, like, you learn not only from card, like, you know, from a card, like, oh man, that seemed like a good idea, but it's not. Then that translates into other cards too, where you're just like, oh yeah, you learn that lesson, and then every time you look at a card similar to that later, I mean, maybe not similar in what it does, but like along the same lines, you're like, oh yeah, that's just too expensive, or yeah, that's just not gonna work, and it's part of journey.
Yeah, now there's a weird thing about it is it's part of a cycle of these pay one enchantments. So there's a blue version, which is called Quiet Contemplation. And it's basically 2 in a blue, and it says whenever you cast a non-creature spell, which I guess part of that theme, you may pay 1. If you do, tap target creature an opponent controls and it doesn't untap. So it's kind of like Frost Breath for 1, kind of, for 1 creature. That one sounds like definitely playable and limited.
That's like limited, like
bomb.
Yeah, right. High pick. Yeah, that card's actually super sweet.
Like, I would play this over the Goblin Slide any day in Limited just because I could control the board to win where the Goblin Slide, okay, I made a 1-1 dude. Big fucking deal. So, you know, it could be interesting.
I might even, like, I might be over my head here because I don't play fucking control. But that might even be a fucking good, like, just lock you out control fucking card in, like, serious.
Oh, yeah.
Like, destructive formats too. Because, I mean, literally, I mean, like, that's all you're doing is just countering shit like that. And then every time, you know, you get this out, like, obviously you're just sitting in behind your wall and, you know, every time you counter anything, you just get, you know, you can pay one more and just tap down one of their creatures. And this might be a good fucking sideboard for aggro decks and shit like that.
I look at it this way. Tumble Magnet was one of my favorite cards. It was 3 mana with 3 counters on it.
Awesome. I was looking through some Tumble Magnets today and I was like, man, this totally just beats Edge Champion.
I know, right? Like, it's always a fringe sideboard card that you feel can make the cut, and it just never does.
It was about like making it 5/5s with Tezzeret, and you're like, this is actually the best creature of all time.
Yes, exactly. I would ramp that shit out, and then I would just stall the board to, like, a Tezzeret out, and then Tezzeret would just turn all my Tumble Magnets into dudes. I love that deck. Scars of Beard was awesome. I mean, I think Tumble Magnet proves, though, that a colorless thing that can tap something 3 times, like, this is gonna make your deck. I mean, in limited, sure, you're you know, you have limited choices in terms of what you're getting, maybe. But
this card's awesome in limited.
I like it in this limited format, especially when you're facing freaking Knuckleblades or Surak Dragon Claws. You know, like, those are cards you do not want
to
hit
those gnarly fuckers down. Yeah.
Right? Like, could you imagine that? Like, maybe actually Tony's right. This card is actually maybe super high pickable in limited, because once your opponent hits 5, it seems like he's going to be dropping something absurd.
Yeah, I think it's still good and limited because it is splashable again, right? It's colorless to activate. It's only single blue. You pick this pack, like, pack one, pick, like, 2 or 3, mm-hmm. and then if it's your only blue card, that's still probably fine.
Yeah, and then think about this. You cast a charm for some, I don't know, draw filter effect or something, and you're like, okay, well, I can't counter Surak, so I'll just tap him. And now you don't have to worry about it for 2 turns.
But it's,
like,
all non-creatures too, right? So you can cast enchantments, and you can cast your banners.
Holy shit, you can cast Planeswalk.
Yeah, like, you can cast anything that's not a creature and tap down. So, like, cast your banner, pay the 1 extra that you now have an extra mana from your banner. So you're not actually even going down a mana.
Okay, it's crazy. That's very good. I evaluate that extremely high and limited. That is going to be fun as shit.
That card's really good. And then they don't untap return, so if you have any sort of, like, instance, you just get them during their upkeep and you get 2 turns of tap out of them. So if you have the, like, black delve removal spell on their upkeep, you delve remove their biggest guy that only costs 1 because you delved it, you pay 1 more, and you tap down their other guy for 2 turns.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Tony, you're a goddamn genius.
I've been playing a lot of limited since I started the store.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of limited. It's super fun.
Let's talk about the counter magic in this set, because I think there's 2 cards that came out that are really interesting that we haven't seen in a while, and one of them is called Adamant Negation.
This card's awesome.
Isn't it?
This card goes in Tron.
Tony, why don't you read this for us?
All right, so I can't fucking find it. I'm shitting the bed here.
I will read it.
Yeah, I love it.
It's Adamant Negation. It's 1 blue, it's an instant, so already sounds really good. It says counter target non-creature spell unless its controller pays 1. Sounds really good, right?
Force Spike,
Spell Pierce come to mind, like, similar things, but it has really interesting clause. It says Ferocious. If you control a creature with power 4 or greater, counter that spell instead. Now, a few people have read this wrong, and what it means is, You can counter. Okay, so the way I read it, and I need a judge on this. Where's Joe when I need him? So let's say I have Surak out. So I do have a creature. I can counter any spell, or is it just the non-creature spell, regardless of what the person pays?
So this can only target a non-creature spell being cast.
Right. Okay, so it's only changing the +1,
exactly.
Right. Okay, gotcha. So, you know, later in the game, you got your big dudes out. It's basically a counterspell for a non-creature spell, which, stopping a crucial Cone of Flame, a Planeswalker.
Or one of their charms, or they have Planeswalker, their like artifacts. Like, this is a pretty good card.
Yeah.
On turn 1, it's a 4 spike on anything that they basically want to do. So they can't tap out, and if anybody's played Legacy, which I've also been playing a ton of Legacy, like, Daze is a real card.
Yeah.
Like, this is a card you play around nonstop. And then I think the thing that makes this card completely not busted is that Delver and Wild Mongrel in Legacy only have a 3 power. But if you're playing this in a deck in Eternal format, I know I keep getting off standard, with Goyf? This card's actually insane.
That's what I was thinking, right?
Or so, if you have it in like the any of your Tron mirrors, once you have a Worm Coil out, it counters their Karn.
Ooh, right. For one blue.
Yeah, it counters their Oblivion Stone. It counters, like, you know, everything but Worm Coil. So I think this card has, like...
Ooh, man, that actually does have some implications.
It counters their map on turn one, right?
Yeah.
So I think this card's good.
Now, what's interesting is I like how they're moving counter magic into forcing you to have creatures, which is kind of like Wizards do think, we want you to play with creatures. We do not want you to just play counter magic with no creatures, which is very interesting with the, hey, well, you can have a better counter spell if you're bashing with dudes, which I find very humorous. I kind of like that. Mm-hmm. I thought that was cool. And then you have kind of a, I think it's not its mirror opposite, but it's kind of its friend, which is Disdainful Stroke, which is a common instance. It's only one in a blue, but it's counter-target spell, any spell, with converted mana cost 4 or greater, which I also feel
is... That's counter-cryptic command.
Yeah, that just sounds like it's going to counter a lot of things, especially in modern, and any, like, that. What does that counter? Everything in Tron that you care about? I don't know, like, wow.
Yeah,
you know what it counters? Splinter Twin.
Yeah, you know? it counters everything that's relevant in the blue-red X matchups. I mean, it counters their Sphinx's Revelation. If they cast over, it counters the Restoration Angel. It counters their Kiki Jiki. It counters their Cryptic Commands, which is usually the problem when you get in that spell battle, because they Cryptic, you Remand, they Remand their own Cryptic back, yada, yada, yada. Like, you just... It's a 2-mana hard counter for Cryptic Command.
Do you think this card is playable in Modern?
Ooh, that might be a bold statement.
Right?
I don't know. I don't. It's not Remand. It doesn't say draw card on it. So.
It doesn't say draw card. I don't know.
This is probably actually really good in Standard.
Yeah. All right. I agree there.
All right. So I have.
Did we talk about Icy Blast yet? Since we're on blue cards.
No. Let's talk about it.
So it's X and blue. Tap X target creature. So it's Gridlock or Giga Drowse, but Ferocious. If you control a creature with power 4 or greater, those creatures don't untap during the controller's next untap step. This is a card that Mono Blue Tron has been looking for, because it taps down a creature early game, and once you have your Worm Coil out, it's basically a cheaper Cyclonic Rift.
That's true.
For 3 mana, you lock down their entire board for 2 cards.
I want them to just stop printing blue cards. I'm so sick of dealing with shit.
Hey, a Mono Blue Tron is like, it's a real deck.
Yeah.
So it still loses to Blood Moon, Kevin. You're okay. You just jam that Blood Moon.
Yeah, it's Blood Moon.
Yeah.
Maybe I should go to 4 in my sideboard.
Four might be a little aggressive.
Yeah, a little bit.
That's probably what you want to do then.
I like being aggressive. Let's put 4 in.
Let's talk about this crazy fucking insane quad black XX.
Oh,
that's sweet.
I don't know. I honestly think there is quite a few dump shit in your graveyard cards, and maybe. I don't know, man. It feels like it could be if it's a dedicated deck, but we've got Empty the Pits. XX quad black, which already sounds like that's never castable, but you do have what's the black Uborg. So we have Uborg. So it's not unreasonable. Now, it's an instant. It's a delve, so we can exile cards to reduce its cost a bit. And then it's almost like a zombie version of Entreat the Angels. So you got put X 2/2 black zombie tokens onto the battlefield tapped, which sucks. Why do they gotta be tapped?
But it's instant.
I know, but it's an instant, so like...
Just do it end step, right?
End step. This seems like every other incarnation of this fucking card. It seems like every fucking set they come up with this fucking mythic rare, fucking way too expensive fucking black card to just dump a bunch of zombies onto the board. And I feel like at some point in Magic's, like... You know, as we grow and we keep doing this same card over and over, we're
going to get it right once.
Well, it's not that they're going to get it right once, but there's finally going to be this ridiculous mono black EDH zombie deck that only uses these cards. And it's just going to be like everything you do, you just get a bunch of swamps out, and then you somehow create a billion zombies, and then you have the zombie takeover. But I still think we're still like 4 or 5 sets off from that happening. Because every set I see, there is this card where it's just like, oh man, a whole bunch of zombies, but that's way too expensive. Never mind.
Now,
put the mythic on it.
For everybody at home, we do have a special treat. We have, undercover, we've sent someone deep into we had to send them deep into the frozen, Calgary wilderness, into the winterlands in the north, just to get to somewhere. Hello, roving reporter. Are you here?
Hi, Bob.
Bob. Are you there, Bob?
We are here. How is it out there? Is it as cold as it looks?
Well, I came back in Calgary, and Calgary was cold as a witch's titty. And we ended up under 8 inches of snow in Calgary with a -1 degree on the Celsius grade.
Isn't it summer there, though? I thought it was still summer.
Apparently, Calgary is too good for fall.
Now, Bob, tell me the truth. Is it true that Canadians do live in winterness?
I do not believe that to be true unless you live in Calgary. How's it going, guys?
We are doing great.
We have our fucking reporter in the field.
We are not doing as good as you, apparently. congratulations, Mr. Community Cup winner. About to go smash everyone's face in.
Yeah. No winner, he's just Community Cup member.
That's well. You have it? I thought it was just game over. Come on.
No. Let me tell you.
Okay.
If the look on Tom Ross's face is any indication, the Wizards team is going to get like
their ass handed.
I'm trying to be a little bit more politically correct, but let's just say that it may look a awful lot like some terrible shower scene in Oz. Like it's gonna be just like
so it's just like fucking laser focus, just getting this shit handled.
Yeah, it's unreal. I'm like, so are you excited? He's like, yeah, I'm a little excited. Yeah, I'm probably not. I'm probably not as excited as I should be. He says, I'm definitely the least excited out of all of us. And I'm like, how are you the least excited? Like, what are we even doing here? He's like, it's just business. He's like, I'm here I'm gonna win this thing, and then I'm gonna go home. I'm like, oh my god.
Who treats the Community Cup like I'm just here to do my job?
Back to back, right? Like, fuck.
So Scotty, the rule is, whenever he wants to draft, you let him draft, right? Black, red, you just let him do his thing. Don't try to like double draft that. My god.
Whatever Tom Ross wants, Tom Ross is gonna get. It's kind of scary. Like, yeah. I'm not gonna cross. He's gonna tell me.
You kind of.
So yeah, it's awesome though. I just got a hold of Bjorn as well and Drayson, and we're heading out for dinner kind of shortly. So I literally have like touched ground. Starting to get into my like I'm in the hotel. I'm on the hotel Wi-Fi. I hope it's not terrible.
It's great.
No, it's great.
I'm trying my damnedest to like get myself together and get the airplane off of me so we can go and have dinner at this amazing place that apparently is like some sort of geek heaven.
Oh my god.
It's this restaurant that used to be like a huge keg steakhouse, and it has since been converted into this like gamer heaven or something, I guess is what it's called.
Did someone actually do our idea, which was like we need a high-end restaurant with good beers and it's a gamer place?
Isn't it Cafe Mox there at Card Kingdom? Or is that like...
No, we have dinner there actually on tomorrow night. So we're having dinner tomorrow night at Cafe Mox.
So are you literally getting driven around in the limo and like you're getting the full treatment right now?
I mean, let's just say that the shuttle driver, I asked him to wait until Tom Ross got off the plane, and he did.
Dude, that is we're so happy for you, man. I hope you enjoy every second there. It just sounds like an absolute blast.
Dude, I'm fucking excited. I flat out told my fucking wife today. I was like, babe, I know sometimes I watch Magic coverage on the weekends, and I do it in moderation. Like, you know, if she's got something going on, she's doing something else, I will start watching Magic coverage. But if we're hanging out at the house, I try not to turn it on because I don't want to piss her off to sit there. She's like, you play enough fucking Magic as it is. I don't want to sit here and watch somebody else play Magic on the fucking screen. I could just have my brother come over and you guys could do it and I could watch what I want to on the TV. So I went as far as to say, babe, I want to give you an early warning. I am going to be watching an incredible amount of Magic this weekend on the TV, very big, and you're kind of going to have to deal with it. And she's like, why? And I was just all, because fucking Scotty is in the Community Cup. And she didn't ask, like, who's Scotty? She knows who Scotty is. She's just like, wait, what's the Community Cup? And I was just all, fucking Scotty is in the Community Cup. And I know, like, I told her this while I was drunk a long time ago, but I'm sure she doesn't remember. But I was like, Scotty is in the Community Cup. It's like a goddamn all-star game. I used your analogy. I'm like, it's a all-star game of fucking Magic. And Scotty is playing in it. So I have a friend, like a personal fucking friend that is playing this weekend instead of watching these random ass fucking pros play Magic that you don't understand. I am going to be taking over the TV for the weekend. So, Scotty, my family and I will be rooting for you this weekend.
Thank you.
Yeah. We fucking love you and we're fucking proud of you. And the fact that you decided to fucking make a pit stop in on Heavy Meta to come say hi is just that much better.
You know, the funny thing is, I told my kids, cause they're always asking, you know, like about Awesome Sauce and about Kevy and about all these guys. And I was like, yeah, so this weekend, one of my buddies is in the Cutie Cup. And they're like, oh, that's awesome. I'm like, yeah, Scotty Mac's in there. And they're like, oh yeah, Scotty, I know Scotty. You talk about Scotty. And the little one's like, I thought Batman was in the Community Cup. And I'm like, Batman.
Next year, honey, next year.
I'm like, Batman. She's like, yeah, what's that guy? KYJ? I'm like, no, it's KYT. He's not in the Cutie Cup, honey. And she's like, I thought he was a good Magic player. I'm like, he's not that good, honey. Not yet. So KYT, it's up to you next time. But, yeah, I am going to be watching.
I mean, shit to us, Batman. We need you in the Cutie Cup.
Yeah. It's going to be awesome, man.
Scott, you can bring this back to KYT. I'm sure he doesn't listen to this show ever. But when Daniel Fournier, one of the guys who works here at Face-to-Face Games, made his first Pro Tour appearance before, we used to always call him the future former Pro Tour competitor. You know, always nice. Implying that he's never going to make it back. So that, there can be your one little dig. The future former Pro Tour competitor, KYT.
He's going to crush it. Can you tell us anything, though? I know everyone's going to be listening to us on Friday when you're knee-deep in it, but
sure.
Can you tell us anything they've told you already? Any special things that we can...
Yeah, sure. Okay, so here's where we're at. So Thursday, we've got a full day of stuff planned. We start out the morning with a Q&A session with the Magic Online folks. Oh, so that's going to be like an hour, 2 hour, hour and a half, I think, long. I'm actually pretty excited about that because I expect that we're going to be sitting down with people like Worth and Mike Turian and that sort of stuff. And they can kind of like talk to us a little bit about what they're doing. I imagine I'm totally speculating here, but you know, an opportunity to kind of open up a dialogue. I know it happened a lot last year too. They kind of talked to MJ about, you know, streaming and all that jazz. So I'm really anxiously awaiting that time. I'm looking forward to making the most of that. And then after that, we've got a brunch somewhere, and then we're riding the Ducks. If you go to like ridetheducks.com or some crap, it's like this amazing tour all around Seattle. So we're doing that, and that's pretty exciting. And then we've got like the tour in WotC later on, and like in the afternoon. And then after that, we're all going out to Card Kingdom and Mox Cafe for like the big all together dinner. So it's like, it's going to be really, really crazy.
Now, do you know?
For you, I'm literally like giddy for you.
Have you heard about what format you're playing? Because I know I've been voting on them all week. Do you know anything?
We don't have any idea what packs we're getting for the sealed portions. The format is pretty simple. So like the first day is VMA draft. That's the first thing. We're doing VMA draft first. Second, in the afternoon, this is Friday. In the afternoon Friday, we're doing Iron Root Chef Standard. So we're really leaning heavily on Tom for this because he's been like really, really in the tank and kind of working through some of this stuff. And, you know, between like him and Paul, and Frank, we'll, you know, myself, we'll be doing our best. So that's really great. So that's Friday. And then Saturday, we've got the 8-pack sealed and, cube draft. And I can't remember what order those are in.
Oh, man.
But, so the 8-pack sealed, I'm pretty excited about. I don't know what you guys have been voting for, but like, I've been voting for all the sweet packs that I want to fucking.
Of course. Yeah.
Like Phyrexia and like Plane Shift.
Yeah.
And when they give you the M1, it was M11 because it had Mana Leak and Titans and
Bolt. Yeah, Frost Titans.
Yes. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's I've been trying to vote like for the packs that I want to play with, like Shards. I think I voted for as well.
Yep.
And I think I voted for Worldwake or Zendikar. I don't know. Anyways, over Innistrad.
I hope they spike those packs with some juicy, juicy foil rares for you guys and everything, man. But do me one favor, because I know everyone's going to be following your feed ravenously here. Ravenously? Is that even a word?
Yeah.
Take some pics, man. I want to see the behind the scenes if you're allowed to. Let us in, man. Let us in the world, the dream of the Community Cup, man.
Well, I'll tell you, tonight my phone is stone dead. I'm like sitting here tethered to the wall making this phone call like an idiot. Remember when phones had cords? Fuck my life. Okay. So after today, I commit I'll be taking like a pile of pictures, and I'm actually going to start a G+ event.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
So you'll be able to, if you guys are in my G+ circles or whatever, you'll be able to see like all the pics as they get uploaded. So you can like follow along with me as I take this journey.
Awesome, buddy. All right. Well, I know you've got to get shit done. So thank you for calling in and go have fun, man.
We fucking love you, Scotty. Good luck, man.
Guys,
all pulling for you. And like I said, I will be watching from home adamantly and just fucking reaming you on Twitter if you do anything wrong. You
know that. Yeah. I'm pretty sure I'm allowed to have my phone there, so feel free. I'm like 90% sure I'm going to be Skyping, like live Skyping Tom Martell and be like, do I pick this card?
That would be hilarious. That would be awesome. All right, buddy. Good luck, man.
Love you.
Good luck, Scott.
Peace.
Well, that was our segment from our roving reporter of the North, Bob. He sometimes goes by his other name, Scott McKellion, but not many people know him by that name. So that is the York live.
Community Cup, and like he's, man, that's just insane. Like, he's gonna be doing that this weekend.
I know.
It's gonna be so much fun.
It's insane. I figure the way I look at it is, if Mana Deprived keeps getting someone from our community to go to the Community Cup every year, I think in probably 17 or 18 years, one of us might actually get there.
I think so. I think when Mana Deprived runs out of people and we keep them podcast, like, they'll be like, all right, one of you guys is gonna have to go.
Well, yeah, I'm pretty sure we vote Kelly in next year.
Yeah.
Let's be real for what's going on with the community and, you know, how we grow it and develop it. I mean, we've started something called an apprentice league here on Tuesday between 4 and 5:30. And anybody who's new to Magic, doesn't matter your age, we have a lot of younger players. We had 16 people here for apprentice league yesterday.
Well, let's actually talk about a few things that I wanted to talk about, which is, obviously you guys have started Face-to-Face Toronto, and a lot of people have been asking me questions. They're like, you know, and even our friend, you know, David Gumby, Raging Gumby, he's trying to start his own store.
Yep.
And it's actually incredibly difficult. I know we talk about it all the time, and you hear about, you know, financiers who kind of like get into trading and then they make their own store. But like, when you try to do a store for the players, I've only watched the hardship and the blood and sweat and tears you guys have gone and the hell you're going through to just get shit to happen, which is really hard. And I just want to applaud both of you guys at how much hard work you're actually putting into this, which is incredible. But tell us, like, so far, like, how's the journey? How was it standing behind the counter and saying we're open for the first time? Like, give us some insight.
I don't stand behind the counter. I sit at tables and play with kids.
Oh, that sounds so horrible, but...
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah!
Good thing nobody who cares about anything listens to this show.
He gets us back. Jab. Oh, good one.
No, it's actually been the most amazing experience in my life. Like you guys all know, I've been a chef for 12 years now, and the part that I missed about doing a public service is getting to see the public. And that's the most amazing part. I have kids that come in here every day and they tell me like, this is my favorite spot. You know, I have kids that never did homework before and their parents are saying, okay, well, once your homework's done, you know, you can go to Face-to-Face and hang out there. And I have kids that come in here every day after school and just want to sort cards. I can't pay people to sort cards, and these kids just want to come in and do it. And I have a couple of kids that came in And they sorted cards for about an hour, and they went through all my old sets, and they just got to see all the old cards, like Ice Age, Mirage, Alliances, Visions, all these super old cards. And after an hour and 10 minutes of work, they're like, okay, we got to go home for dinner. I was like, okay, well, each of you guys can have a booster pack. And they didn't want them.
Wow.
They're like, no, they're like, we just want to help. And I was like, no, that's fine, but let me reward you. Like, no, if we take that, then we're not volunteering. I'm like, okay, well, you volunteer, and then I'm going to give you these for free and just pretend like they're two separate issues.
Yeah, shit.
You know, but people just want to help and want to be a part of it. And I think a really big part of that is having a face to what we do. You know, like Sal does it in Montreal, and people love Sal. There's a reason that people ask us for Sal tokens. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a reason people have never met Sal feel like they're friends with him, you know, because he's this larger-than-life character. Well, Kelly's the same thing. Only we situated our store specifically in an area that's up and coming in Toronto. We are placed directly between four schools that are all grade 12 and younger. We know personally some of the teachers and principals in the surrounding schools, so we have an in to start some after school clubs. We've started, like I said, this apprentice league where kids from all these different schools come, and the only reason they know each other is from this apprentice league.
That is amazing. I can't.
It's really awesome.
Like, when I saw that picture of the kid that drew the Stormfront Pegasus, I have to tell you this story. So when I first started playing Magic, I was in college, right? And I remember I'd go to Excalibur Comics, and I'd talk to the owner, Rob, all the times on Bloor Street there. And I would see the young kids come in, and I would see them like, just like you said, they would be willing to do anything. Like, they're like, I'm bored at home. What do you want me to do? And to them, like, sorting cards or doing any laborious task that you feel is not worth your time, to them is like, this is the funnest shit ever. And I watched kids do anything. Like, once they felt like they were part of that store, they were the most trustworthy. They would look out for other kids. Like, it just built the community. And I just, like, I love seeing that. I just cannot believe, like, how quickly you're making an impression on all these people right now. It's just blown my mind, man.
Well, the most important part is to make the effort.
Yes.
Right? Like, we're busy here, and we have a lot of singles. Yeah. I mean, we bought, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars in cards, and that translates out into tens of thousands of cards.
Yeah.
But we bought so many cards, and, yeah, we could put four people's manpower on sorting cards every day. But that would take away the 1.5 hours Kelly has to sit down and do Apprentice League. That would take away from the time that I get to sit down with people and go over their decks and help them before F&M starts to come in early. So we are putting the priority and the focus on the people.
That's the number one important thing. I mean, how cool is that? I've never been in any comic magic store where the guy behind the counter says, hey, let me see your deck. And he helps you before the tournament? I've never even heard of that. Oh, man. I think you guys are doing God's work, man, or Planeswalker's work. I don't know what it is, but
Earth's work.
But, yeah, I didn't get a chance to tell, like, too much, but I brought my girls down there last time I was there, and they just had a blast. Like, they couldn't believe they could not believe, like, how cool everyone was, and they're just like, this place is so awesome. They keep asking me to go back, and we'll definitely have to get down there again. But I was going to ask you now, I mean, obviously, that's the good side of things, but obviously when you start a store, there are some hiccups and there's some hardships. And one of them, I'm curious, I know we saw on Twitter there, Joe the Judge started up that thing because you guys were trying to get your pre-release. Did you get it or?
No. So the only thing that I'm going to say about that is that we are overwhelmed with the support from the community. It's so amazing to see people like Joe and everyone who even had a conversation about it. Support whoever they're supporting, right? Yeah. If they supported Wizards' decisions, then it was nice to see that they had a community in a forum that they could feel comfortable speaking their support. And if they supported us, that's great. But we're not upset. It's not the end of the world. We are going to do super awesome things for release. We have a lot of things planned for that weekend. There's actually a Vanguard release, so we're really pushing towards a Vanguard tournament that weekend. And we want people to play Magic.
Yep.
So we're actually canceling our late night draft on Friday so that people don't have to make a choice between coming here and going there. We want everyone to play cons. We want everyone to have fun. So go to the stores in the city, have fun. We'll have our stuff the next week, and it's all good.
Yeah, I mean, and you know what? That's a really important life lesson to everyone out there, that, like, there's ways to handle situations, and you can get upset, and you can take all your energy, and you can divert it into another, you know, negative side of things, or you can say, you know what? Fine. Next week, I'm going to make it even better. And I love that you guys are, you know, not upset at anyone. You're like, hey, this is just the business, and you're rolling with it, and shit, you're going to make things even better. I can't wait to play Revenge of Khan, whatever the fuck the next set is, because I know you guys are getting that one, goddammit.
Oh yeah, not close. Like, it's not even an issue. So, like I said, I just want to say thanks again to everybody who showed their support either way, and everyone who felt like they had a forum that they were comfortable to talk in.
You guys actually are awesome about that, man. Like, feels like it's such a good community feel there, and God, it feels like so many people are learning magic. It's crazy.
It is crazy. With the fact that we had more people to come out for Apprentice League than for Standard, and you know our Standard turnout's fine, but I can see that everyone's chilling out, right? They're all getting excited, they're all getting pumped up for cons, and I'm sure everyone's jamming games on Cockatrice, and they have all their cards proxied up, and they're just sitting home waiting at spoilers. So, you know, we're gonna put some incentives out there for the next couple of weeks. Check our Facebook page, Face Games Toronto, for all of our incentives for the people that come out and play Standard and Modern over the next couple of weeks. Well, I know you guys are just waiting for the new set.
Now, when will you guys actually get cons in the stores so we can come down and do some events?
We will be open for business. Mm-hmm. On Friday morning at 12:01 for release. Our doors will be open, we will have product, and we will be ready to party.
Awesome.
If you want to pre-order boxes from us, you can come down to the store, put a $25 deposit per box. We're selling them for $109. We're genuinely concerned about the supply. This is like, seems to be like Ravnica plus demand. And you can get your boxes pre-ordered. Now, the one thing I do have to say, though, is if you do pre-order your boxes with us, because we're not getting a pre-release, we will not have buy box promos.
Ah, boo.
So, you know, it rules are rules. It is what it is.
That's fine. No worries. We'll get the next ones. It's all good.
Yep.
That's awesome. So, definitely, are you going to be doing, like, as they fire 8-man drafts of cons?
Oh, absolutely.
As long as you guys have supply?
Yeah, so we will have to actually have a close time, so we might try and organize a draft at midnight so some of us can get out by 3:30, because again, when we open at 10 a.m. the next day, I'm sure...
Yeah, it's a little late. I don't think I can make it.
Fortunately, I live close. Kelly lives close. We're happy to spend the time here, but yeah, we're going to be here late Friday night. We're going to be here early Friday morning, so I guess Friday morning and later Friday morning.
You're like, I'm sleeping on the floor.
No, we have leather couches.
Oh, that's right. We're
sleeping on the floor, right? We got leather couches.
It's a high-end place. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's really nice. So,
are you going to be doing anything like really cool for cons, like little mini events with some cool prizes or anything that we should look forward to?
Yes.
Oh. But you can't tell me about them right now.
Not yet. I want you to look forward to them, and I want you to keep an eye on our Facebook page.
Done.
Yeah.
I will make sure everybody knows. If you hear anything, hit it my way, and I'll smash that thing out of the park and let the world know. Obviously, from your side of the counter, there definitely feels like there's a buzz for cons, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Like, not close. Even the people that have come in to say, like, you know, I'm just getting back into Magic, I would tell them, like, this is a good time. Like, even for those people that aren't super into three-color mana fixing, like, hardcore drafting, 1 in 8 packs, you're going to open a $20 bill.
Yes.
Right? So those people to say, like, I want to come in and draft, and to know that there's a chance that they're going to come ahead on money is something that's very interesting to new players because they want to go infinite.
You start
one draft for $15, you open up a fetch land, you're in, and now you can just draft.
Wow.
So that's the part that's really exciting for me for new players. And the fact that all the rest of the players in the community here are so excited about it, it's just going to create player interaction with each other. Right? Now, the guy who's never opened a pack before is going to open the sweetest foil, savage, knuckleblade, the heavy meta monkey, I'm calling him.
And, let's
be honest, it's basically Frankie's boost cube card, right?
Mm-hmm.
You pay 3 mana, you make him grow.
Yep.
That's rule one. you pay three mana, you return them back to your hand. That's rule three.
That kind of is, yeah.
And let's look at the picture. That mouth, that's rule two.
Yeah. Oh. For those that know, they know the know. Yeah. It is that time when we jump into questions from Twitterverse. Which, actually, you know what, Oil and Gas Dad? Get me some cool little music to go for that. And we'll think of a cool name where we can be like, it's question time from the Toilet Universe. Well, toilet. Well, it's Twitter. Sometimes it is the toilet. But we're jumping in, and my observations at Twitter, oh my god, at my observations with a double S has a question for Tony, which is, do you predict a tier 1 to 2 modern deck shakeup because of con slot fetches?
No.
Either do I.
That was simple.
Next question.
No, I really don't. What I do predict he's doing is just making the format more accessible, which is actually what Wizards is trying to do. I don't think that you're playing any... Well, okay, so as we're sitting here, I'm proxying up this Jeskai Delver deck because I'm actually super keen on it. And what I did realize is Red, White, and Blue now has appropriate fetches. So right. You can play more fetches, but you can also play more basics.
Yeah, so I think it's not going to do what everyone says. It's just going to make things more consistent.
It will make Blood Moon less powerful.
And really?
I'm okay with that. Well, yeah, because then your blue-black fairies deck doesn't have to worry about fetching only your basic island.
That's true.
Right? So it will actually take Blood Moon's power down just a little bit. But that card's insane. Let's be real. That card is actually just like it ends games on turn three.
That card is so good.
Yeah,
it might be too good.
Don't take Kevy's deck away from him. That's the whole reason he built the deck. That was his first card. Oh, no, Lightning Bolt.
It's not going to take it away from me. It'll knock it down a peg. Yep. That's why I said earlier, I'm going to run four. I'm kidding. No, like it might knock it down a peg, but I don't think it's going to fucking ruin it. So.
I think these lands might make the split cards a little more viable, too, because Far and Away is a really good card. But when you have to fetch a shock to cast it, that makes it a little less good, right? Like, Wear and Tear is a great card, and you have your red-white fetch for it.
Right. I like it. So. Phyrexian Library asks, now that fetch lands are being reprinted, can you shut the fuck up about them? No. I'm like, no problem. But he goes, what do you think needs a standard reprint next? Part one. Part two is, as in not Bob or Goyf or Cleek. That stuff is too obvious. So, Tony is the man to talk to about this, and I think this
actually bounces back to what you were saying earlier. I don't think it'll ever happen again, honestly. Like, Bolt would be a great fucking reprint. I don't think they'll ever do it again.
But I mean, money-wise?
I think they will. But no, I mean, well, is this what we're talking? Just money wise?
I don't know. I mean, I guess that's what he's asking.
I think Bolt would be a good reprint. It would be an awesome fucking reprint. And I think you're right, Maddie, like what you were talking about earlier, because like the power level of creatures, like, I mean, that's only going to hit, you know, a small amount of the creatures nowadays. Like, you know, a three, it's not that big of a deal. And three to the face. I mean, for one mana, it's a good card, but I think that falls right in that. Like, that would be a good reprint.
So my
people might not see it as like, oh man, like Court of Calling's coming back, but yeah, whatever.
My top three reprints are cards that I've noticed now working with the buy list and buying and selling a lot of cards are Smash to Smithereens. That card is like an insanely expensive common and very, very difficult to find.
Really? Right. Okay.
Yeah, yep. It also plays right back to Legacy. Like I play three of them in my mono red Legacy deck because Batterskull is a real card.
Yep.
Yeah, shit, I don't even own one of those cards, so yeah.
That card could use a reprint. The next one is Goblin Guide. That card's up to $30 non-foil.
Yes.
That card needs a reprint. And if they're a promo, that card needs a reprint.
Yep.
And then the last one, I know we've seen it a lot, but like we need more remands. It's a $15 uncommon.
If I have to vote, mine is on Path to Exile.
Well, and Cryptic Command, because Cryptic Command is still like a $100 foil.
You bastard. Like, I was just going to say. That's crazy. For me, I hate to go into the blue-white realm, but like Path to Exile feels like that's just... I like when Standard has, and not necessarily for money, but I just like when Standard has that non-black option for instant speed removal at a really aggressive cost. So for me, it's Path, and then obviously Cryptic Command. I think that card is just It's not that I think Standard would be warped by it. I think it would be well played, but its casting cost is limiting. But I think for Modern, the card's too expensive. And then the last card, I know...
Well, with Cryptic, do you feel like it would like they would be able to do something like that without just reprinting the cycle?
Yeah,
you can reprint the cycle. That's fine. Sure. The only problem is like Cryptic's the only one that's actually worth money.
Yeah.
Like that's the other ones are playable in other formats. They're just not Modern playable. They're not quite that good. And I even actually remember people playing Profane Command in Jund decks.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was like reanimate plus drain or something like that, or reanimate plus like discard.
Yep.
And that's fine. They're just none of them are Cryptic Command.
Yeah, and the
everybody's big bitch about fucking the goddamn command. Well, Wizard's big bitch about the commands is they're so goddamn confusing. But with their new bullet point system that they have for these fucking charms, I think that reprinting the fucking commands might be nice because they could just put them in bullet points and we're fucking.
I can totally see them in the new frame with new art.
Modern Masters 2.
I could totally see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, another card that needs a reprint very badly is, I mean, I know you didn't want to hear Bob Goyf for Cleek, but obviously Goyf is just a card that is absurd. It is the most, it's $200 or something now. It's insane. Non-foil? Like, what the fuck? That card just needs to be reprinted. And the other card that I think we're going to see 100% in Modern Masters is Snapcaster and Liliana of the Veil. I think both of those cards should be reprinted again. I know they kind of just left, but
I don't think they'll do it because they're both from the Innistrad block. Like they're not going to reprint those again.
Maybe not.
I don't know. Is that like a precedent that's been set? Will they reprint something that soon, or is that one of those things that are just like no, like that shit just left. Like we're not going to reprint it again.
So the reason I think that we could see anything from even. Like Theros block, not that there's really anything that's modern worthy in there, get a reprint in Modern Masters 2, is Modern Masters 1 was the first 7 years of modern. So come 2016, we'll have the second 7 years of modern.
Right, right.
So there's actually going to be like a limited number of cards that you can actually reprint, and some of them will need a second reprint, so that automatically like takes up some slots, right? Like if we get... Goyf. I don't want to see Goyf, Bob, and Cleek again, but like we need Goyf.
I don't want Cleek or Bob, but if you gave me Goyf, Snapcaster, and Liliana, I'd be quite happy.
Yeah, exactly. And Snapcaster doesn't need to be a mythic. I mean, like it's a $33 rare, but it's worth it, right? Like if you look at Geist of St. Traft, that in the decks that it's played in, it's a 4+, it's still only like a $16 card.
Yeah.
Right? Like the promo at $40 made those WMCQs basically free. You show up, you pay your $40, you get your $40 promo, and then you
What about Mox Opal?
Yeah, I could see that getting a reprint. Like
it's that card's up there.
That card is like breaking the fucking Affinity deck because like the Affinity deck is like what, $6 except for the Mox Opals?
Until you put like, the fucking Tarmogoyfs in it and then you have Tarmo Affinity.
Yeah.
but you know what? When you start, like, this is what I don't understand. Okay, when you're putting Tarmogoyfs in Affinity, like, come on, like that card needs a reprint. It's absurd. If it's as in demand,
just sticking Tarmogoyfs in everything.
Yeah, that's what they're doing. Yeah, I mean,
when you're just sticking Tarmogoyfs in fucking everything.
And I mean, as stupid as this sounds, and I know you know Phyrexian Library probably didn't want to hear this, but I think the Zendikar Fetchlands also need a standard reprint. I think
we'll see them back in the third set.
I mean, that's what everyone is assuming. I don't know. I think they might hold them back.
I call clue stones, so you should probably listen to me on this one.
Hey, man, I actually called banners 3 weeks ago. I called them by their proper names. I didn't know what they did, but I knew they were going to give you three goes.
I called the Onslaught Fetchlands.
He did. He's got the record, man.
Well, since we're not going to be drafting the first set and the third set at the same time, I could totally see it. So then we will always have five fetches in the draft format.
Oh, right.
That makes sense.
Oh, actually, that does make a good call, buddy.
Just
okay.
Like, it's like a Band-Aid Wizards. Just like rip it off, give us the fetches, and then we'll leave you alone for like
a year.
2 years. Yeah, a year, 2 years. So, well, actually, we should probably just start bitching now.
Yeah, did you notice that? There's way less bitching, like, this time around. Like, spoilers, it's like, fucking Wizards, fucking Wizards, fucking Wizards. This set, they're like, here's the fetches. Everybody's like, man, this set is fucking sweet. Like, all these cards, they're really good. Like, everybody just got, like, a shot of the happy gas. And everybody
and then
was
they printed
just, like,
some really good cards that weren't fetches.
Yeah, and they're just like, oh, man. But I guarantee you, if they didn't give us fetches, everybody would find all the little shitty parts that were wrong with those fucking cards and be like, yeah, that card might seem sweet, but it fucking sucks because of this. It sucks because of
well,
that.
Well, it would suck because like, it would cost three different colored mana symbols.
Oh, man, it's cool, man. We got fucking fetches. It's like fucking laughing gas at the fucking dentist office, man. Everybody's just cool. Everybody's like, oh, we got fetches. We're good.
It's
you know,
true.
Scalding Tarns, they're still fucking expensive, but I don't give a shit, man. Because I have fucking access to fucking five more cards that will give me, you know, I can get the colors I need. Fuck Scalding Tarns. I don't give a shit. And those will probably come down because I have access to these other cards in Modern. And everybody's just fucking happy because we got five fucking lands that everybody really wanted. And they're like, all right, fuck it. Here, have them. And everybody's like, all right, man, this set's fucking sweet. Maddie's buying fucking boxes of it.
I know. I'm buying a box. Like, wow.
I guarantee you, if those fetches didn't get, those five cards didn't get reprinted in this set, Maddie would have been like, I ain't buying this shit.
You know, no, someone asked me that question, and I said, in all honesty, I still probably would have.
I stand by this statement. What you said about Theros earlier, because we were all stoked on Theros. It sounded like a great fucking idea. Like, this, all these gods and this and that, and then we're just like, oh, man, this block is meh. I mean, some shit happened, but fucking whatever, man. Like, yeah. And then you're just like, oh, man, Theros. But this new fucking set, but it's a different fucking story. You're buying shit from it because they reprinted those five fucking lands that we need for fucking
Mox. All right, you probably got
it. I honestly think that if they didn't reprint those fucking fetches, everybody would have the same take on this as they've had on the last few sets. They're like, meh, whatever, this is fucking bullshit. But it's like, just, maybe, you know, just chilling out the masses. Everybody.
Well, hey,
like,
I don't think you're wrong, Kevin. I don't think you're wrong.
Hey, Wizards, take a clue. Return to Ravnica, Zendikar, and Khons. Why are they so popular?
We are Magic players, and so, like, when you give us something that fucking chills us out and makes us go, man, Wizards is on it. This is fucking awesome, like this. Now you have to step it up the next fucking set, right? So, like, they're basically...
Oh, darn, they have to... There's pressure on them to keep doing good.
Yeah. So, but like, this is also the internet, and this is also fucking Magic players. And so it's like, next set is going to have to be, like, Return to Zendikar with the Power 9 in it for us to be happy. Like, if we don't get...
They gave us VMA, so it's close to power.
Hey, listen to this. So, sorry, Peter Capazzo, Blight Bro, on Twitter, because he asked, will enemy fetches be in the last con set? We kind of already trampled over that, but,
yep, yes.
But he did, no, but he did have a first part of the question towards Kevy, which is too early to drink pumpkin beer. And I'm like, yes, pumpkin beer is horrible.
Well, yeah. If you're in Calgary, then you're already drinking peppermint schnapps. Like, yeah. You skipped right over pumpkins.
It's Christmas already in fucking Calgary. It's over. All right, so Ron from Direct Damage, our good boys. I don't know, is that Direct Damage cast? It might be. Right, buddy. He asked, Wizards of the Coast are keeping secrets. They're using gang signs next plane with cons and guilds out? Which then leads into the other question, which is, Steven Ravalis is not a question, but a demand. Make sure Kevin Metal rambles about the clan sign fiasco. Timur gets a shot in my hood. So that's lovely. No.
Timur gets shot in his hood.
Oh, is that?
Yeah. That is what he's trying to say.
Oh, no. Timur gets you shot in my hood. Okay, gotcha.
I think you're saying it wrong. If you've ever watched South Park, I'm pretty sure it's Timur.
Yeah, and good old Jack Aquas asked, why does Kevy want us to look like gang members? I don't know if he really wants us to look like gang members.
People look like gang members.
You know, I think he was honestly just giving you all this cool little symbol if you wanted to.
It really came down to, I gotta call her out. Fucking girl on Nerds, Casey, fucking hit me up today on Twitter, like this morning. And she's just all, is it just me? Or does the Timur symbol, I think it's the Timur one. Does that symbol look like, you know, that, you know, the international hand sign for a vagina, like we all used to do when we were kids? And I was just like, holy shit, it totally does. And then I looked at the rest of the, like, guild marks, or the, not guild marks, the fucking clan marks or whatever. And I was all, holy shit, they all look like gang signs. And so I spent my lunch break taking pictures of my hands doing gang signs of the guild symbols or the clan symbols. And then I posted a picture on Twitter. And then I went and did my first service call, and I came back, and my phone was blowing up. And apparently, everybody took it seriously. Everybody's like, oh my god, one of those is a gang sign from the Crips and the Bloods, it's a Crip symbol that means blood killer. And then it turned into, holy shit, wizards are a bunch of irresponsible people that shouldn't do this. And then they tagged wizards in it, and then there's like so many retweets and so many fucking favorites, and I'm like, oh god, you guys are fucking retarded. Like, I just was making a joke.
All good intentions, Kevy.
I just was trying to make a joke, and it's all good intentions all around. Like, some of the people are legitimately trying to get people from, like, keep people from being shot at the pre-release for flashing these gang signs.
Yes, we do not encourage anyone to flash gang signs or con signs.
I'll shoot each other.
Please don't hurt each other.
I do kind of condone flashing the gang signs at your fucking pre-release, but that's just me. That's Kevy Metal Incorporated. Like, we'll stick that there. That's not even heavy metal on that one. Because I think it's going to be funny if I walk into a pre-release and somebody just flashes me the fucking Teamer sign. I'm going to fucking lose it, dying on the floor.
Oh my goodness. Well, everybody, that is an episode of your favorite show,
of
heavy metal, folks. That of gang signs in the local county, I believe, is what it is. Although I don't know what county that you would get in shit for doing this, because frankly,
we're getting into counties now? What the fuck?
Well, Hazard County? I'm trying to think of something new, man. Like, this is the thing. Like, I think everyone, we only have, what, another six episodes or something left of this?
I don't want to forget this. Like, we were doing the questions thing, but I got one. There's an additional question for Kevin. This is from Squid Boy. Fucking Squantum Flux, or Squid Boy Q at Squantum Flux. Pick an easier Twitter name, man.
You lose for having a horrible Twitter name. No, go.
Additional,
I like that. The quantum flux is good.
Additional question for Kevy Metal. If you'd answer, what's your favorite alcohol besides Kraken, and what's your favorite strain of green? And I want to bring this to the rest of the fucking cast. Now, I want to start off by saying, like, I don't smoke at all. It's just not for me, so I don't have a favorite strain. But my favorite alcohol besides Kraken, that actually brings up a very hard question. I mean, I drink vodka all the time. Like, just basically whatever fucking vodka you could possibly come up with, because it doesn't really matter because it's vodka. And other than that, I got to say, like, to give you a real answer, I'd say Jameson whiskey. Jameson whiskey is
fucking... That is such a stupid cop. Come on, man. Jameson's old.
Jameson is fucking beautiful, man. Jameson's good whiskey.
Oh, it's not that good. It's all right. It's all right.
Outside of Kraken and just any random vodka that you could fucking give me, because I don't really give a shit. It's all vodka. I think Jameson whiskey is probably my favorite fucking booze. Now, I want to know what your guys' favorite fucking booze outside of Kraken, and if you smoke weed, what your favorite strain is.
Again, I'm with Kevy. I don't smoke the green, so I don't know. But I think if you had to pick another, I mean, obviously I love Innocent Gun. Which is beer from Ireland, which is just the best hands-down beer I've ever had. It's just beer? Insanely good. Oh, dude, it's got whiskey-finished versions.
Who are you, fucking Slick Jagger? Jesus Christ.
Well, you know what? Hey, fuck you, Slick Jagger and Michael Multica. Fuck you guys, because I never used to drink beer until Vegas. And you motherfuckers have wrecked me now, because that's all. Now I'm fucking deep into beer now. I'm trying all the German beers and shit. It's crazy, but I love Innocent Gun. But I was gonna say whiskey. Like I said, whiskey's hard. I don't know. There's a lot of like really local.
Well,
like,
it doesn't have to be organic. Whiskey. Just,
okay,
just
okay. Liquor. If it doesn't have to, okay. So liquor, Ungava. If you don't know what that is, it's gin made from Ungava fruit. I think it is
Ungava fruit.
Ungava. Go Google it. It looks like a bottle of piss. It's bright yellow, and that shit is amazing. It is so good, you could just drink it with ice.
It looks like a bottle of piss, and
it does.
It's amazing.
It does. It does. But it tastes like nothing I've ever had. It is
a bottle of piss.
No, it doesn't. It actually tastes so good. It's so good. And if you mix it with lemon... Rockstar, it's hands down. I tried to bring it, man. I tried to bring it to Portland, but they wouldn't allow me alcohol on the plane because I would have. I should have actually. I fucked up. Hey, I'm going to own up, man. I should have fucked up. I should have just sent a fucking case of it to frickin' anyone down there, Luke Narianin. I should have done it because you guys would have died. It is, absurd.
We're learning from these mistakes that we've made. Yeah. Like, we had Vegas, we had Portland. We're learning from these mistakes. We're learning that Kevy probably shouldn't be in the same city as Slick Jagger. And if we are, we have to fucking pull our shit together. We've done this fucking party time once. We actually have to play Magic the next time.
No.
We're learning that we have to ship our fucking liquor,
yes.
So that it can get there safely to the destination we're going, so we don't have to try to bring it on a plane and get it taken away. Like, we're learning. So this SVU fucking event that we're going to have is going to be amazing because we're learning from our mistakes.
Yeah. What about you, Mr. Awesome?
So you were talking about the Ungava, and there's a brand of it called PJ Enriquez? And that's probably something that I'm butchering in French, but Martin actually came to the store, and then he hashtag left the store, and then he went home. But he came to the store.
Fuck bitches, get money.
Okay.
Fuck bitches, get
money. Fuck bitch. This is for Martin, and it's totally worth the swear jar. Fuck bitches, get money. So he brought me this gin, and he brought it with tonic water. What was that tonic water I asked you to get, Matt?
Oh, yeah. By the way, I brought, like, frickin' a case of this shit. What was it called? Jinison or, I can't remember the name of it.
Yeah, I know. We're too drunk to figure it out.
You know what's sad, though? It's just regular tonic water. It didn't even taste like anything. He asked for this $3 organic crazy tonic water that's just water.
Yeah, no, it was good. The lemonade was really good too. But anyways, that gin was like some of the best like hard liquor I've had in a long time. And from gin, I drink scotch, like not whiskey, like actual scotch, like Macallan 18 and Glenfiddich and Glenlivet and like these like $60-$70 bottles. Like I'm not so rich or pompous as to drink $150 bottle of scotch, but my best friend Wes, he's big into scotch, and he's actually following the Arnold Schwarzenegger workout plan, so like no beer, no carbs, none of that, and like 3 hours at the gym every day. But scotch is okay, so we've been enjoying a few glasses of scotch after work to
show. Nice.
It was my birthday on Monday, so we spent
happy birthday, man.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Oh fuck, happy birthday.
Yeah, thanks, man. Yeah, so it was my birthday on Monday, so Martin was up for that, and friends came over and spent some time here. So that's the
actually
gin he brought me.
I will say Bruce Lee on Twitter. He
was here
brought.
Tonight. What's up?
Oh Bruce? Well, there you go. What's up, man? He brought some scotch last time I was down, and that shit was really good. I don't know
that guy's got deep pockets for scotch.
Yeah, he's a scotch. Okay, like you and your rock star. He's always got scotch. He knows, and he doesn't bring cheap scotch. Like I've never seen him. He's
a bomb.
Yeah, he rolls with good shit. You know when he's like, do you have a glass? And you're like, we're at a comic book store. He's like, you should have a glass. And I'm like, okay, I'll get a glass. Like, and it is worth it.
And then as far as the rest of the question goes, I mean, my main focus now is the community and kids and to be a proper role model in life. So I don't really do that stuff.
Nice. Look at this guy. He's fucking awesome, man. He's fucking Superman.
Yeah, it was a life change for the best.
It is, man. Hey, you gotta keep clear. When you're running a business and it is your life, you gotta put priorities straight, so.
And I don't miss it at all.
No, there you go, man.
So, you know.
Hey, man, that's what Vegas is for. No, I'm just kidding. No.
That's right.
Hookers and blow.
There you go.
Fuck bitches, get money.
Sling magic cards, get money.
So at the store here,
we have
a swear jar that we donate to charity. Because we have a lot of kids around, and our customers are very used to being too liberal with the way they talk. So when Martin was here, he would come over and put 25 or 50 cents on the counter and just be like, this is for the future, because fuck bitches get money.
So how fast did that swear jar hit $100? That's all I want to know.
More interestingly enough, it was how everyone bought in. I could go up to a 30-year-old man the first time and be like, look, we have kids around here. We have a swear jar, so the first one's free. After that, we take a quarter or a bulk rare.
And you can pay in magic cards. That's awesome.
I've had people come up to me at the end of the night and be like, here's a dollar. I lost a couple matches and, you know, for a good cause.
That is awesome.
We do a lot of cool things. Like, I have a box of old Dragon Shield sleeves that I collected over the years, and if you want draft sleeves, then you can donate a dollar to charity, and I will lend you a set of draft sleeves.
Whoa!
Cool, man. Like, dude, see, like, store's awesome. Those little fucking things that just, that those little different ideas that, yeah. I don't know, they just separate you guys.
Well, we also have an in-house invitational system that we're working towards across all formats that's a free 1K tournament every 3 months.
Ooh,
that really? We're putting up the prize for. So the first tournament coincides with the next pro tour, and first place is a foil Liliana. Second wow. place and third place, foil Misties.
Ooh.
And this is what we're giving away every 3 months, just to come and be a part of our store and
wow,
just play in our events. That's all we want. Lots of people.
I would so come down. Man, like I would so come down
in fucking Canada.
Oh, dude, you gotta get up here. Renee, you know what? Like I said, man, get a hockey stick and some rollerblades and just skate across the border. No one will say shit.
If you can survive an early September day in Calgary, you might be able to survive winter in Toronto.
Fuck this! What am I saying? I'm America.
Yeah, you're totally American.
I live in California, man. I can't. I gotta be in California until the day I die, because this is what I do.
You're a son of anarchy. Stop it.
We're also hosting and promoting charity tournaments exclusively, like, for all proceeds go to. This recent charity is for cancer research, because one of our employees here, Daniel Fournier. Canadian Cancer Society, as Kelly's yelling to me from across the store. It's affected his life personally recently. So yeah. he got to choose the first charity that we're doing this for. And we've had some amazing donations for prizes. We had someone donate a Judge Foil land pack.
Whoa.
Yeah. Like, that's the type of support that we have from the community. So we told them about this charity event. And they said, here's what I want to contribute.
Man, I just love the community feel. It's so good, dude. I just can't wait till you guys have events when the Pro Tour is on, because then I can take a Saturday and I can be like, go down, we can watch the Pro Tour and play while we're watching it. Ugh.
Saturday, if things are working out, then maybe we'll have an Apprentice League day where you could bring your girls down and we could play with them and meet some other, like, you know, under-10-year-old kids. And
they would love that. They would go bonkers.
Dad's there, right? So they got the support. It's not like they're left on their own. You can play with them, and maybe that would be a good way to kill a Saturday afternoon.
Well, they already. What's funny is they already have their decks. They're like, when can we bring our decks in play? So that would be totally cool.
Tuesday at 4 p.m.
Yeah, that is not gonna happen. I live multiple cities away. It is quite a trek for me to get there.
I'm pretty sure there's a city between me and you that Kevy's not too fond of.
Depending
on how the room is sitting.
Yes.
Well, let's see, there's 6 people left here.
Oh.
And they're all cubers.
Well, why don't we ask the room? Let's ask the room
what city.
Tell them, what would they say if San Diego walked right into that store?
Let me ask them.
Yeah, ask them what they'd say.
Go fuck yourself, San Diego!
Yeah!
Hey, do you want to say hi to Kelly while he's here?
Yeah, well, of course, man.
Here's your ears.
Get this bastard on the line right now.
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, brother?
Hey!
Just hanging out.
Running a store, kicking ass.
Super.
No, I want to talk to you about something. Like, while I got you here, I want to talk to you about something. Contract.
Bring it. Contract.
Yeah, I feel like I'm being overpaid, and so I need you to take away some of the shit I'm being paid. I'm not happy about it. I want to give it to charity.
Oh, okay. Sweet. Yeah, let's give some stuff away. You got something for this tournament we're running for Fournier's grandma?
Yeah, shit.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Sweet.
What do I have deep in the fucking tank? I got some stuff for your fucking cube.
Ooh!
Cube. I got some things that are going to be sent your way, but I also have to get fucking, like, the store's address from Tony. But
we'll put it in the show notes, and then everyone can send their cool stuff.
Here?
Yeah, I figured it
out. No. I got this.
All right.
I got something fun. I got a foil Japanese Entreat the Angels to throw in.
Whoa. Realize it is a proxy cube, Kevin. They don't want real cards because they'll get thrown.
No, this is for the tournament.
Oh wow, that's for the tournament. Should we door prize that or should that? Yeah, we should door prize that one. That
sounds like a sweet door prize.
Yeah, I think so. At this point we've got a couple like a Mindseize deck. We've got the Judge foil packet. We've got a From the Vault 20. So the prize pool itself for the actual event is already getting pretty loaded. Yeah, for $20.
Yeah, and then some for schmucks just all, wait, this is a foil and treat? Like, wow, I got this for what, like 10th place? What's going on here? No, that's a door prize. That's good. But I want to give you guys something. I want to throw something in for that. And then, yes, I've got all sorts of cool shit for the proxy cube that's coming your way too. So
sweet. Sweet. Well, if you have foil Harbor Serpents, that apparently is the new hotness among the Apprentice League. Did Anthony tell that
really?
Story?
No, he did not. Tell me.
I saw something tweeted about the foil Harbor.
Yeah. This is the greatest thing in the world. So I decided that each, like, Apprentice League, they play three rounds. It's best of one. Like, they literally just play one game of Magic. Let's see if we can get through it. Each round that you win, you get a card, a single foil Magic card. And I literally just grabbed a handful of the, like, junk commons that we buy for 5 cents each, right? The bulk. And I, like, shuffle them up face down and hand it out. And the kid's like, what? I get one? I'm like, you bet. You won a game. You won.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. And he pulls it, and it's foil Harbor Serpent, right? Which is, like, the worst blue creature. Yeah. It's, like, every other dumb sea serpent. And he's like, oh, my God, it's blue. I have a blue deck. Whoa! Literally starts skipping across the room. Look at this! It's foil! Harbor Serpents are in high demand.
Okay. High demand. I like it.
Man, I have got a ton of those shitty foils, so I will definitely bring those down next time I'm there.
It's so much fun. It's so much fun.
Oh, God damn it.
That is awesome.
That'd be awesome.
We just wanted to say, Kelly, congrats, man. We're so happy to see you guys kicking ass at the store and being such a good positive influence on the community. I love what you're doing with your Apprentice League. Awesome stuff, man.
It's so much fun, and it's so great to have the support of the local neighborhood, the community, the Magic community at large. Like, everyone is on board with this. Like, Wizards just sent us a whole schwack of the little beginner decks they had. They were like, this sounds like the perfect thing. We totally support this.
Nice.
Those in the mail today, and they got a lot of good support for new players that we're excited about too. So as much as we love to grumble, they really are on the right track, and they're mm-hmm. helping us. They're really going out of their way to help us get to where we need to go as much as they can, which is awesome. So
totally,
what's up? Sweet. Awesome. Well,
Kelly, thank you so much for fucking coming out and saying hi.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anytime. Well, Anthony's still one episode ahead of me in terms of guest appearances, so I gotta, you know.
So we have to actually just sneak you in on one.
Exactly. Yeah. I'll just. It's hard now. I can't do that live on location at the bar with no name anymore because I'm in the store. But
because now you're a big businessman.
Yeah, I know. No time for drinking at the store. I mean, drinking at the bar anymore. Yeah,
drinking at the store.
I did love when you would call in from the things and be like, "We can't hear you." He's like, "Hold on, guys."
Yeah,
dude, I can't wait. I can't wait till I tell my wife that I'm like, I'm gonna be just like him. I'm gonna open my own head.
I'm gonna be just like him.
The problem is like, I'm gonna have the lack of motivation that you don't have, and like, I'm gonna end up like, oh, babe, I'm gonna fucking open a store. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Yeah, sure, David's opening a store in the same small town, but it doesn't
How's
matter.
How's that coming?
Well, it's getting there. It's he had everything lined up, and he had some issues with the loan, so it's like a month behind now.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's getting the financials going is rough. Here's what I discovered about becoming like a business owner is there's all these businessy things you have to do before you're allowed to do the thing you're actually really good at.
Yeah, you're all like, stoked about it, and like you're just all, I'm gonna do this. You got it fucking planned out to a T. But then there's all the stupid businessy things.
Yeah, you have to like meet landlords and like talk to lawyers and
Literally, like I'm going through this myself right now. Like next Thursday is our closing date for our new fucking house, and I am jumping through hoops. Yeah. I'm leaving work to sign papers, shit like that, and that's just to buy a goddamn house. This isn't even a fucking commercial location, and this isn't even a fucking business plan in a store. Like, this shit is hard. It's nonsense, and you guys have done it flawlessly. It's ridiculous.
You know what? The funny thing is, we've gotten so much support from the Montreal store, which has made things so smooth. And, you know, Matt and Sal have really taken us under their wing on a lot of stuff. But there was some really hilarious, because, like, before I'd have, you know, teamed up with them, I was working on this on my own, right? And I'm writing, you know, business models and business plans and stuff like that, and I'm trying to talk to investors. And investors are like, hold on, you want to do what? Like, sell cards. Okay, what else are you going to do? And I'm like, maybe some board games and stuff, but pretty much just sell cards. And they're like, you're out of your mind. I'm like, no, don't worry. There'll be lots of people. They'll come. They're like,
no, you mean like baseball cards?
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's like we're wizards and we cast spells at each other. There's monsters.
Open a store to play Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, exactly. and that's why when Matt and Sal got on board, I was like, oh, thank goodness. You guys already understand that this is a good idea. I don't have to try to explain it to you.
Yep.
So
that's awesome, dude.
Yeah.
That is cool.
And I'm like, oh, God damn it. I have to make a trip to Canada at some point now. Like,
really do, man.
I felt like I had to when I was like, oh man, I'm part of this Mana Deprived team and I got to make it there. And like, oh man, it's so far. And
May 2015, man, GP Toronto. It's being put on by Professional Event Services. Mike Guptill, the owner of PES, totally throws an amazing party every time. I've judged for him a handful of times. Super cool guy, runs great events. So I think that's going to be our thing. Yeah, that's going to be the big one for
half
of next year. I think so.
Well, maybe we should look at that because, like, my birthday's in May, so maybe we should do that. But what I've been told is, hey, from Martin himself, he's like, hey, you might want to talk to me before you try to get into Canada because you might get fucked. So whatever kind of law he practices, he might have to get into immigration law. Like at least for a few, and he'll have to do it, you know, for the sake of the heavy meta SVU. But if I can get into Canada, maybe we should fucking make that the time that I do it.
Yeah, sounds good. Well, we would love, you know, there'll probably be a Team Trios event, and Maddie, you know, might need a hand on.
I would.
Oh, if there's a Team Trio event, I feel like it should just be like me, Maddie, and I don't know, fucking Ferret or TSG or anybody else that's looking up regular on the show.
Maybe
Tony, because he's got a huge fucking crest of this fucking podcast on his chest. Maybe he deserves the third spot.
Could be a thing. I might be making him work, but we had 50 teams show up for Team Trios on Saturday.
That's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Standard. We can't get 50 people to show up for a pre-release at my fucking local game store. Like, people, not teams, people.
Well, that's the funny thing, because it was like old school Trios, standard, modern, legacy. Mm-hmm. And you need one standard, one modern, one legacy. There hasn't been a 50-player legacy event in this city in God knows how long, and then 50 people show up as a third member of a team. It was unbelievable. I couldn't believe the support we got on that. That was wicked. So we're running it back. We're going to do cons team sealed now that, because that was so much fun. So that's a day after the Mana Deprived Super Series for those in town.
Oof.
You know, it wouldn't be me on this show if I didn't slip an event plug in there somewhere, right?
Hey, you got to do it. We've been plugging you all night. As sexual as that sounds, we've been plugging you all
night. Yeah, there you go.
I'll take it.
I don't know what song plays out to plugging you all night, but I'm sure it's awesome.
Yeah.
Come up with something.
All right, sweet.
All right, later,
thanks
buddy.
Thanks again, guys. Take care.
Thank you, man.
Peace.